We're going to use the Rambam as a base, you know, and from there, we'll explain what other Rishonim may say by contrast, okay? Well, let's get started. All right, Hilchos Mamrim, you ever learned before? No? All right, fine. We'll have to learn 6-7 halachas together. Okay, so we start from the first parak. So when there was the big rabbinical court of 71 Tzkenim in Yerushalayim, they were considered the living embodiment of Torah Shebaal Peh. Where is the Torah Shebaal Peh? In them. They are the Torah Shebaal Peh. They are the pillar of, from which guidance comes from. And from them, Chayk and Mishpat, right, all different forms of law, are explained to all Klal Yisrael. The Torah promised us that there would be this body. Right, so the Torah promised that they would be around to guide us, and that's what the Pasuk says in Parshas Shaftim. Right. Do on the Torah as they direct you, and the judgment as they tell you, so you should do it, and this is a positive commandment. Positive commandment of the 248 positive commandments is to obey the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim. Anyone who believes in Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah that he gave must, rely on them for everything that, for all their religious purposes, meaning how we ma'aseh das, how we uphold our religion. We have to totally base it on them alone, the Lishonim, we have to be totally reliant upon them. Okay. Anyone who does not follow the psak of the Beis Din HaGadol transgresses the negative commandment. And this is the negative commandment of loy sasur, not to deviate from that which they tell you. It is the isur to deviate from what the Beis Din HaGadol has paskin. Then Lekin Allah Zed Meshu Nitan Lazarus Misas Dezis Kochacham Shemayah Adivrem Misas Abachetek Shem Arish Ashiyasa Bezadu Vedot Yishmah. Now, if there's a negative commandment on disobeying them, so why don't you get Malkus? Malkus being lashed is the standard punishment for transgressing a negative commandment, unless the Torah specifically said Misa, the standard punishment for a lav sheyesh bo Misa, for a negative commandment that was done actively, is Malkus. Why don't you get Malkus when you disobey their psakim? Maybe people disobey all the time. Why don't you get Malkus for having disobeyed? Because there's a principle. Lav shenitan lazharas misas beizdin ein lokalav. If this lav could in any way have the death penalty, a certain scenario where it has the death penalty, it doesn't get Malkus anymore. All right? That's what we said. That a lav gets Malkus, that's if the Torah didn't, prescribe the death penalty to it. And there is a scenario where lo sasur is chayv misa, and that's the din of zakin mamre, right? The zakin mamre, right? This is we're going to explain this criteria shortly. Right? The zakin mamre who stands against the basic law, doesn't want to submit to them, he gets killed, right? But only the zakin mamre gets killed, but he gets killed for the same prohibition that anyone transgresses. I mean, to say like this, lo sasur is, you are not allowed to deviate from the Beis Din HaGadol. If you are someone who could be considered opposition to them, right? You're a zaken shigia lohira, right? You're a person who knows how to paskin. So such a person, because he could be considered like an opposition to them, because he's on the stature that he could paskin himself, so he gets the death penalty for not being willing to submit to their psak. That's the din of zaken mamre. But a Zakin Mamre has technically done the same Avera as anyone else who doesn't listen to the Beis Din HaGadol. Just by anyone else, you don't get the death penalty. As the Gemara explains, Naase Kulasa Echumrase Kulasa. The fact that you're not competent to paskin is what saves you. Right? You're not opposition. So you've transgressed the negative commandment of not obeying them, but since you're not competition for them, you don't get the Chi of Misa. The Chi of Misa is only for someone who could be like opposition to them. But the sin is the same. The sin of not submitting to the authority of the Beis Din HaGadol of 71. Okay? So far, so good. All right. Right? That's what we just read. That so since this lav could get, there is a scenario where it carries the death penalty, so that's why no one gets malchus for it. Okay. So their authority is absolute, be it by that which is known by the transmission, meaning from generation to generation, and that is that which we call Torah Shebaal Peh, that which was handed down. So their authority is absolute to say, this is what is the transmission from Moshe Rabbeinu. V'echad dvarim shalom b'esan mipi da'atan v'achad min amidah sh'atan edreshet ben v'nir ben shadin b'davar hazeh kachu. Right, and this is also true regarding saying that they were machadish with one of the midas shatan adreshes by him. They created a new law, so loy sasser obligates you to follow them just the same, be it in how they are telling over the transmission, be it in how they are machadish and new halacha. Their authority is the same by both of them. The echad hadvarim shosan siyag l'tar mashafi mashasar tzvicha v'em gzeres takonis v'min hagas. And that's also true by something that they made as a fence around the Torah, you know, I mean the Durabans, you know, whatever was needed at the time. And these are the Gzeris, you know, the Gzeris Rabban, the Takonis Rabban, and the Minhagim of the Rabbanan. B'chor achad v'echad mishosh edvarim elu mitzvasei lishmorem v'ov ha'kochsmem over b'loy ta'aseh. So by all one of these three categories of law. So what are the three categories of law again? That which was known by transmission, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Second category of law is the Beit HaGadol themselves passing a new psak that there never was before, because they, with the Midas Shatorn Adreshes Bam, they, you know, created new halacha, or be it the Rabbanans that they institute. These three categories of halacha, by all of those three, their authority is absolute. What's the difference? Very little. We'll see. In part days, we'll see the difference, okay? It's only a technical difference. Right? So by all these three, their authority is absolute. And the Rambam now threads it through the Pasuk. Right? Over below, if you don't listen to them, submit to say Torah, if you don't listen to them, you transgress the negative commandment of Lei Sasser. You know, the Pasuk says, you know, based on the Torah that they direct you, so what does that refer to? Elo gzeres hatakonis v'min hagas, sherman l'rabu k'nei l'chazak adat v'letakin ha'olam. These are the gzeres, you know, the decrees, or the institutions, or the minhagim that they've directed, you know, either to strengthen the religion or to make society a better place, all the different drabbanim that they instituted. V'al mishpat Hashem ha'chatase, and on the judgment that they say, do, the pasuk goes on to say, elo dvarim shalosan min adin, v'achad min amidah she'atan addresses them. Right, these are the things that they've learned, you know, from you know, the new halachas that they pulled out from the midst of the Torah's midst with. Mikosheh gidocha, and whatever they tell you, zu kabbalah shekiblu ish mipiish, this is the transmission that they received manual, generation after generation, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the apostles that granted them authority alluded to these three bodies of law. Okay. So it's very important at this point to point out that the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam regarding the third category, the Durabanans. The Ramban speaks of this at great length in his Hasagas, you know, in his critique on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos has a 14-chapter introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvos, topic of my next book. Right. So on the first chapter, where the Rambam writes about, you know, that you should not count one of the Tariq mitzvahs as one of the Tariq mitzvahs, anything that's Durabanan. Only Doraisas should be counted. So, over there, the Ramban takes the opportunity, since they mentioned Durabanan, right, and how they're not the same as Doraisas, right, so the Ramban takes that opportunity to attack the Rambam for saying that Yechayev mi Doraisa to keep a Durabanan. You understand the problem in that, the absurdity of that, according to the Ramban. It's an absurdity. Yechayev mi Doraisa to keep a Durabanan. So why is a Durabanan a Durabanan? Every Durabanan should be really a Doraisa. And we find that there is a difference between rabbinic law and biblical law. Right? Suffik Doraisa l'chumra, Suffik Durabanan l'kula. But if you're chayav to keep a derabbanan, because it says loisosur, so you're chayav to keep the takonis and the gzeris and minhagas, so you should be machmir by any suffix derabbanan, because you're suffix in violation of loisosur. Right, that's what the Ramban asks, right? And so the Ramban is very strong on the position that there is no chiyuv deraisa to keep a derabbanan, because otherwise every derabbanan would really be a deraisa. Right? And the Ramban in his Pirush on Chumash indeed says, you'll take a look on these psukim in Parshas Shokin, talk about the authority of the Beis Din HaGadol. So he only mentions the first two categories. They could tell you the transmission, and you have to obey their psak and how they interpret the Torah. Doesn't mention derabbanan there at all. Right? That's not part of the authority that the Torah gave the Beis Din HaGadol. Right? Now, that's not to say that the Ramban Shita is more logical. Right? Because you have the problem in reverse. If you're not chayav midaraisa to listen to the Rabbanan, why do you have to listen to them? What's the source you have to obey them? Now, that's what they try to say, in the Rambam, Right. We're only talking in general, right? Generally speaking. That what you said is what they try to say in the Rambam to explain why Suffolk Durabban could still be Lakula if you chayav midaraisa to obey them. So they say, the Isser to rebel against the Rabbanan is Doraisa. To say, who are they to tell me what to do? That's also midaraisa. But the actual takana that they instituted, they let you keep it only if it's vada. If it's suffix, they let you off the hook. Now, that's what they say in the Ramban. Right? The Ramban says it's not possible, right, that you're chayav mi deraisa to keep a rabbana, right? Because then it's not a rabbana, it's a deraisa. So he doesn't like that way of thinking. He doesn't buy it. Right? This is long. If you want, I'll give you part of. I have 50 pages on it in my next book. I'll give you part of the manuscript. Right, we're talking generally now. Right? Generally speaking, the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam on this point. However, I say the Ramban is not easily understood either, because if the Torah never said to obey the Rabbanans, why do you have to obey them? Right, you have a problem. So where does the chiyuv start from? He says it doesn't start from the Bible. So where does it yes start from? Right, the Ramban's opinion is not more logical than the Rambam's. In some way, it's less logical. What? Asmachta. It's just an asmachta. Right? Yeah? It's just an asmachta. When the Gemara says, Heichad Sivan, the Gemara says, it's just a remez. Okay. Okay. There's three possibilities to explain the Ramban. So Reb Shimon Shkop in the Shari Yesher, Perek Zayin, so he wants to speak about a concept that he believes in very deeply. Right? He mentioned it a few times in his writings. He believes in the concept of, kivyachol, parallel to the Kantian moral imperative. Right? We'll just say Reb Shimon's words, haseichol mechayev. Right? Intellect forces you to obey the Rabbanan. There's a moral imperative by the fact that you're a thinking human being that you must obey the Rabbanan. Right. You're smart enough to know how chashiv they are and that they know what's good for you and they know what's best for you. Right. So a person of an active mind, his mind his appreciation, his intellectual priority. So the mind is machayev. What they mean, lahavdil, similar to this, and in philosophy, talk about the moral imperative. Right? your seichel is machayev you, right? As a thinking person that, you know, appreciates the chashivas of the Rabbanan, right? So your mind says to obey them.
What? What someone
does? No, so that person is stupid, that's what you say. Right? The seichel is machayev means, you know, the intellect obligates you. Rav Shimon believes in this principle. You know, in his advisor, he believes that there's such a concept in halacha that the Torah expected a person to use his mind and to do as the mind dictates. Rav Shimon believes in this principle. Hasechol Machayev, he calls it. Right? So, yeah, so now it can't be that it's a svara, right? Rabbi Chanan was also a Talmud of Rav Shimon, and he talks about this, right, that, you know, Rabbi Chanan had a little bit of a difficulty with this. Says it can't be that my Rebbe meant that it's a svara, right? It's a svara that you have to obey the Rabbanan, because we say svara deraisa. You know, when I say this ought to be the law, because misvara it should be that way, that's a way to interpret the Torah no less than kavachomer and gzera shava. Svara deraisa. Right? You know, what logic dictates is, you know, proper, right? It has nothing to do with anything that we're talking about. Not at all. Right? Not about consciousness. We're talking about, you know, what intellect dictates is proper.
Okay, so do you think it's a good thing to just be a slave up there? Does that mean you're fulfilling the mitzvah? You never even knew that it was a
mitzvah? No. Rav Shimon is saying something, you know, much more basic. There's something else called Hasechol Mechayev. You know, the intellect obligates you. Your intellect obligates you. What is considered to be intellectually correct, your intellect, you should feel obligated by your intellect. You should feel obligated by your intellect. Right? Except, you know, Shimon is saying this to get out of, you know, to explain the Ramban, right? So, you understand, it's a little bit hard to explain what Rav Shimon means, because svara deraisa, like I said. If I say this is the halacha on Shabbos, because, you know, svara dictates, that's a legitimate way to interpret the Torah, no different than using a kal vachomer or a gzera shava. The Gemara interprets the law on svara alone, you know, throughout Shas. So Rav Shimon can't be saying it's a svara. He can't be saying that, otherwise he didn't get out of the kasha. Right? Rav Shimon must be saying a different principle. You know, so when we say svara deraisa, that means I'm interpreting the law with a svara. He's not saying you're interpreting the law with a svara, because that's the whole point. We're saying there is nothing in the Bible that says to obey the rabbis, the rabbanans, only to obey how they interpret the deraisas. Basically, authority is only on deraisas, not on durabanans, right? So he's saying, no, it's not biblical. The intellect obligates you. The intellect obligates you to follow what they've instituted. If you are a thinking person, then your intellect obligates you. You have to follow what your intellect dictates. Right. No, you're right. Listen, you're not over any one of the 365 laws if you don't keep a drabana. You're just a lowlife. Right? You're a bad person, right? And the fact that we put a person in cherem for not keeping a drabana is because he's of bad conduct. Right? He's punished. He's punished because he's of bad conduct. Right? Not because he's done any one of the 365 isurim in the Torah. Anybody can rationalize anything, right? Right? But the thing is that, you know, what the intellect dictates as correct should be mechayev you. Right? That's what he says. Right? Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, his Talmud, he didn't go with that. You know, he has his own book on, called Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, that's all on this topic of, how the Torah's legal system works. And he says something else. Right? He wants to pose an idea of this. All right, the Torah never said to listen to the Rabbanan. Right? However, ask yourself the following question. Right? Does God want them to make their takanas? Yes. Why? Because we do find, at least one source, Ushmartim es mishmarti, Chazal Darshan, make a mishmeres with mishmarti, safeguard my Torah. Right? It's a positive thing. Right? There's no shortage of sukkim in the Torah that talk about that it's a good thing to improve the world and safeguard the Torah. Right? Right? So far so good? Right? So Rabbi Chanan wants to say an idea like this. According to the Ramban. We're in the Ramban, right? Right? So, it never said in the Torah to keep, not to move muksa on Shabbos, and there's nothing in the Torah that obligates you to not move muksa on Shabbos, right? But, right, it is safe to assume, right, that when the Rabbanan made this takana of, muksa, which strengthens Shmirah Shabbos, for all the reasons that are brought down in the Gemara, right, there are many different reasons for muksa, why they instituted that. So God likes that, right? So it's Ratzon Hashem. In the words of Rabbi Chanan, they're mechaven l'Ratzon Hashem, right? They intuitively tune in to the divine will of how God wants the world to be improved by people, but he leaves it up to the people. That's a special privilege they gave us, that we, on our own volition and our own initiative, will improve the Beit Nagot. So they're mechavin, right? They're mechavin to divine. We're confident that they got it right. We're confident that they did something that God is happy with. So the fact that God's happy with it is what's mechayev you. It's Ratzon Hashem. Although it's not Ratzon Hashem that's spelled out in the Bible black and white, like the Taryag Mitzvahs. Right? It's not the divine will expressly written down in the Bible, but it is divine will. And you have to obey divine will. God's happy with it. Right? That God is happy with it, that we have enough lessons in the Chumash that teaches that, like the Pasuk I quoted. Ushmartim es mishmarti, like safeguard, safeguard my, asu mishmeres mishmarti. It's a good thing to make a siyag l'tera. Right? We know that God likes this. So even though he wasn't mitzave on these particular actions, we know he likes what's going on. Right? So if he would have commanded the particular actions, they would be derisive. He didn't command the particular actions. Right? But that they are, God likes what they're doing. Right?
God may like the concept that they're doing, but does it mean God would like every single job line that they would make? Like, how do we know that each one they make is really what Hashem would want? Maybe Hashem thinks that it's important to make siyag in the Torah, but
we have confidence. Right? I'm just telling you what Rabbi Chanan says. All right, what I say in my sefer is a lot more complicated. I'm just going to say bechlal and whichever way you like, right? Right? But I have a lot of proof from what the Ramban writes in a few places, right? That when the Ramban is arguing with the Rambam and saying you're not chayev mi deraisa to keep a derabbanan, right? That means the obligation, there's no obligation. The Torah did not obligate the human being to perform these actions. But these actions are not baseless. They have Torah value. They have innate value. They're not fiction. Because the Ramban has a very strict shita in the Isur of Baal Teset. You're not allowed to change the law. Right? You're not allowed to add to the law. Right? Lo Seisufun, Lo Sigur Mimenu. Can't add to or can't detract to the law. Right? So how? So this is a big charge that we show them deal with. The Rambam deals with it over here, right? How did the Rabbanan add to the Torah? They gave us Mikra Megillah. They gave us Hanukkah. How were they allowed to do that? They added more mitzvahs. They added seven more mitzvahs. There are seven mitzvahs to Rabbanan. They added seven mitzvahs that aren't in the Bible. How were they allowed to do that? So the Rambam's approach, right, which we're not going to get to because we're not going to do the whole Hasmamrim tonight, right? The Rambam's approach is, so long as they tell you it's ours and the Bible didn't change, that's enough. That's okay. As long as they tell you the Torah didn't change, we didn't add to the Torah, there's still only 613 mitzvahs midoraisa. This is our own invention. Right? That's enough. That's enough. That's not called they added to the Torah, because they say this is not doraisa, it's the Rabban. So we didn't change the Torah. That's the Rambam's approach. The Ramban says that's not good enough. The Ramban in his Pirush on Chumash, right, on the Isur of Lois Sayyifu, right? In Parshas Veshchanan, I believe. Right? So the Ramban over there says that every single takana that Chazal ever made, they found a remez for in the Torah. And if they wouldn't have found a remez for it, they would have been over on Baal Tosef. The fact that they found a remez, so they found a remez to Hanukkah, by Aaron HaKohen, right? And they found a remez to Megillah. Okay, sure. Now then they found a remez to Megillah from Yoksai, Zayzi, Karm, Basefer. That's written by the first Muhammad Hamad. Write this as a memory in the book, all those extra words to allude to Mikra Megillah. They found it. They found allusions. And the Ramban writes, if they wouldn't have found these allusions, they would have not been allowed to institute these mitzvahs. Right? So now, if you want, that Ramban could definitely help Rabbi Yochanan. Now you ask, how do you know? Rabbi Yochanan doesn't quote that Ramban. But that Ramban in Chumash could definitely help him out. Right? That's how you know they were mechavim to what Hashem wants, because there's a remez by each and every one. Right? Right, so that Ramban in Chumash for sure could build up Rabbi Yochanan. Right. All right, but my approach is that, once you have a remnant, that midoraisa, there is such a concept as this mitzvah derabbanan. They're just the ones who make it obligatory. Right, but it's not baseless. There's innate value to the action. Right. Right. There's innate value to the action. The obligation for the human being to do that action, that's midrabanan. But that action is choshuv. That action makes a difference. That action is good. That's already in the Bible. And that remez, whatever remez they found. So it's only derabanan mitzad, the human being's chiyuv to perform it. But that it's real, that's rooted in the Torah. And whatever remez that they found alluding to that mitzvah that they instituted. Okay. Onwards. Divrei kabbalah en ben machlokes la'olam. Now what was received, this is the Rambam Shita, very important. He argues with this with the Tosfos. The Rambam holds whatever was transmitted from Moshe was never a subject of dispute ever. We know exactly whatever Moshe Rabbeinu taught. Divrei kabbalah en ben machlokes la'olam. We never, ever, ever argue. Meaning the course of Machlokes can't be, I think Moshe taught it this way. No, I think Moshe taught it can't be. Never. Divrei kabbalah ein ben machlokes la'olam. The kol davar shetimtza bo machlokes yadua she'enu kabbalah Moshe Rabbeinu. If you see the two chachamim arguing about it, you know that halacha was not part of the transmission. If they're arguing about it, it must not have been part of the transmission. There can't be a machlokas on the transmission. Right? The Rambam explained himself earlier in his Pirush HaMishnayos why he says this. Right? The Rambam says, if you want to say that we don't know what Moshe Rabbeinu taught, we have no idea if we're practicing the original Mosaic faith. Right, the Rambam considers it a terrible thing to assume that machlokas come from the fact that we forgot what the transmission was. What is that the Moshe Ben say about this? We forgot. Because who knows, we're keeping the same religion. Says Elamai, that we're certain that we're keeping the same Mosaic faith, we have to be certain of the transmission. So where does machlokas come from? Right? Right, that's what the Rambam explains. What is machlokas on? V'dvom shalameidim minadin ibiskirim bezagoro kulam ha'eskimu v'imlechu ben ochre acharoi v'matin adin acharabim. Right, what is their machlokas by the new halachas that weren't part of the transmission? Section 2 of the law and section 3 of the law, there could be machlokas in. Right, the first section is the transmission. Transmission is always unanimous. Now, it could be one guy was absent that day in yeshiva. Right? He missed that day in school. Right? So Rambam wrote already in his Pirush HaShnayos, he has to admit. So, you know, when I say I haven't been Mesera, so you're obligated now to be Mavakal your Das to me. Because you were absent that day. It's your ignorance. I'm giving you knowledge. Submit to the knowledge that I'm offering you. What?
Like,
that's not
what
it's
about. That's
what it's
about. And everybody claims that they
have Messiah. No, no one has a Messiah. They have a going back 500 years, 600 years, 800 years. 1,000 years, not even. They forgot. Right? But it can't be that the pshat is like this. You know, that, you know, either everyone has the Messiah or no one has the Messiah. Meaning to say, let's say a few people forgot, right? But the people who forgot have to submit to the people who say they retained it. Right? So we know how to pronounce the words, everybody forgot. Nobody knows. Right? Well, but the Rambam said, it's not possible to contain the idea that we could sustain machloikas where one party has the Messiah, the other party doesn't have the party that doesn't have the Messiah should be willing to learn it from the party that does have it. Right? So by the other president, no, we don't know. No one knows. We don't know. So when we say we're keeping a tradition, it's not a tradition that goes all the way back. No, the tradition goes back 500 years, 700 years. We'll get to that. Well, that's not, you know, what obligates us ever since, you know, but, yeah. Okay. So what is the machlokas? And machlokas is only in the chidushim that came out in every generation, that there was a new halacha, it was never paskin before. So one guy reasons this way, the guy reasons the other way, and that there's machlokas. And how do you resolve it? Achrei rabim lahatos. You go with the majority rule. That's the din of achrei rabim lahatos. You know, 36 of the Beis Din HaGadol, you know, want to, you know, they accept this drosha. And they accept this new halacha. 34 don't. You go with the right. Achrei rabim lahatos. The chen zeh takot v'nehogas imo mitzvah shoshoi ligzor gzeh razu o taki takada zu o shenichom al minat zeh v'o mitzvah shen she'en roi ligzor bo gzeh v'o taki rib lo aniach minat zeh. Right. Right. Same thing by the Durabonans. Right. Now the Rambam will call it three types of Durabonans. There's the Xeris, Takonis, and Minhagos. The difference is the Minhagos, as the Rambam says there, is what people start doing by themselves. That's how Minhagim start. People start doing them by themselves. Right? So the Beis Din HaGadol now is arguing. We're going to let them continue with this or we're going to stop them. Whereas by the first two, should we institute it, should we not institute it? Right, as you say, it's very clear in Rosh Hashanah. By Minhagim, are we going to let them stick with it, or are we going to stop it? Whereas by the first two, we're going to institute it, we're not going to institute it. So the same thing over there, it could be Machlokes. 35, you know, 36 of the days are going to say, let's institute this Gzerah. 36 say, you know, let's uproot the Minhag. Don't let them continue. They started doing something, we're going to stop it. Right? 34 say, let them stay with the minhag, or 34 say, don't make the gzeirah. So the din is, achrei rabim lahatos, majority rules, and that's the psak. That's the psak of the Beis Din HaGadol, which you are chayav ba'aseh and lo sa'aseh to observe. But anyway, there could be machlokes in the chidushim. There could be machlokes in the rabbanans, and we resolve these machlokes on majority rule. There cannot be machlokes in the transmission. Yes. I heard it from my Rebbe, heard it from his Rebbe, heard it all the way back from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now that's not strictly the case. You know, there's enough proof, you know, the Netziv writes in the Kidmas HaEmek, and I saw of Soloveitchik also in his Shirum Zech Abba Mori says the same idea, just in his own way of expressing things, right? That so they prove, you know, that that the Rambam also said this by old halacha. I mean, it could have been a chiddush, let's say, in the generation of Boaz. Right? Here. In the generation of Boaz, so that's when they made the drasha, Ammoni velo Ammonit, Moavi velo Moavit. Right? That the issur of Moav to come into the klal is only on the male folk, not on the females. Right? So I Ploni Almoni, he didn't want to marry Rus, right? Because the halacha was, you know, it was a new halacha at the time. He was scared that maybe that halacha will be overturned, right? So no one in their right mind is ever going to argue in that halacha. It's old halacha, right? Meaning it already passed through many generations. No one, we see that there's been no interest in contesting it. As we're going to come to later, you know, the issue of a later generation contesting the rulings of an earlier generation, when you see it's like old halacha, it's been for like many generations, it's also treated as divrei kabbalah, that no one authorized. Like, this is old, it's from the, you know, it was from the days of Shmuel HaNasi. In the days of Boaz, it was still a machlokes. Yeah, Shmuel HaNavi was one who finally, his Beis Din, finally paskin once and for all, you know, that the issur is only on Moavim and not on Moaviyot, and therefore David can be a melech because Rus was allowed to come into the people. Right? Old established halacha. Now, there's proof that the Rambam would give it the same standing, even though it originally was a chiddush. Because it's, you see that many generations, no one's interested in overturning it, so we best stick with it because no one saw fit to ever challenge it. You asked, I told you. Unknown. Right, but there's a lot of proof that the, you know, there's a lot of proof in the that the Rambam meant that also. That the Rambam writes in a few places, you know, he calls something the Rabbanan Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And we know it's Rabbanan. Rabbanan and the Rambam himself treats it like a Rabbanan. Right? And yeah, he calls Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So there's enough evidence to this that the Rambam considers old law that's been around for a long time, and that our source for it is because I heard it from my Rebbe. It came down by transmission. Teach it like, treat it like everything that came by transmission. How are we doing? All right. We're holding. What?
There's
no final psak on that issue. And that's what we're trying to get to the issue of how halacha works ever since the Gemara's been sealed. You know, it's very difficult. Said, yeah, it's a problem. Now, there's no final ruling on that issue. No, the Gemara is a composite of all these three bodies of law that we're describing over here. You know, things for transmission, the new dinim, and the drabanim. Okay. Okay. No. Zemakfuya. Just far more far. Okay. Okay. Kishoya based in agoro kaim lois hashem machlokes biso. When we used to have a based in agoro, which is what we're talking about, there was never any machlokes, meaning never any machlokes that lasted any real length of time, is what he means to say. Of course, they argued in the Beis Din, like we just described in Halacha before, right? It just wasn't a machlokes that lasted for any length of time. A recall din shenor bo safek, rechem yisrael, and it puts out a safek. So show the Beis Din shemir, he asked the Beis Din in his town, Im yada amru, vim lav harisho im oiser beizen, oim shluchav. In yada amru lo, vim lav harisho im oiser beizen or shluchav oim yushalayim shalom beizen barbais. A person had a suffix. He asked the local beizen in his town. If they knew, they told him. And if not, he or messengers of that beizen or the beizen themselves all ascended to Yerushalayim, and they asked the beizen on Har HaBayis. There was a beizen that sat at, we're not talking about the grand rabbinical court yet, we're talking about the one that sits at the opening of Har HaBayis. So there was a beizen that sat there. Right? Im yadu amran, vim rav, akol b'im the beizen shal petach ha'azara. Right? So if they knew, fine. If not, they called to the other basin. The basin sat at the opening of the Azara. In Yadu Omram Lam, Vim Lav, Akobah, Mishka's brother, the basin, I go to Visharim. So now if they didn't know either, so that's when they come to the grand rabbinical court that sat in the Lishkas Hagazis, within the temple area. Right? And they ask over there, Imai Adam Hashem, Bo Safak Lachor Yadiyah, So Beis Nagolo, Ben Mi Piyah Kabo, Ben Mi Yishad Donoba, Omer Lem Yad. Now if the Beis Nagolo already knew the answer, be it by transmission, they had received a Mesoira, and what the Pesach is by this thing, or they had already sat on this, and they were already Mechadish, what the din is by this, so they say immediately, you know, what they know. Vim Lo Ayah Adav Adorat, So Beis Nagolo, but if they're not saying that they know, so Dunham Bob the Shaatan, the Russian Dover, I just come and they at the point, they adjudicate it, you know, they sit on it, they work on it right then and there, they argue about it amongst them until they come to a consensus. Or Yamdu a minion, or if they can't come to a consensus, then they take a head count and see how the majority holds. And they tell all those who ask, such and such is Dalacha. We're just posting it right here and now. Okay? So no machlokas ever lasted that long. You know, it lasted as long as the Beis Nagolo argued about it. Once they, you know, they came to a conclusion, the machlokas is over. Okay, Misha Brato Beis Nagolo. But since the Beis Nagolo was abolished, which is in the days of Hillel and Shammai, right? So Rav said, Machlokes b'Yisrael, Zemetal Tazav, Zemetal Tazav, Zerel Sifu Zematis. Then, you know, then that's when the Machlokes in Klai Yisrael increased and Torah splintered, because this guy Asers and he has his reasoning. This guy is Matzah and he has his reasoning. Right, this one, you know, is Metame and this one's Metar. Each one has their reasoning. And there's no way to come to a consensus anymore. Right, and that's why you find that after Hillel and Shammai, we talk about Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, two different schools. That was because the Beis Nagolo got abolished, and they formed two major academies. Right? And they couldn't come to a consensus. Right? And Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai go at it for generations. There's no Beis Nagolo. Now there are some notable exceptions in Shas where they got together and they made a Beis Din and they came to consensus. Now, but that happened, you know, once in. There's another thing. They didn't have a centralized location anymore, right? Because in the Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's days is when the Beis Hamikdash was Nechrav. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is a Talmud of Hillel HaZaken. So there was also a pragmatic problem that there isn't a place to go to sit together because the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So that's why on odd occasions they did convene and they made a Beis Din and they were Gozer Gzeres, but you know, sometimes it's, you know, so it was not Kavua. And because it wasn't Kavua, that's why I splintered two different major schools, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They didn't have the institution of the Beis Din HaGadol that has the final authority to put a seal on the issue. Okay. And that's our sad situation today. Also. Right? There's no Beis Din HaGadol that could put a final seal on the issue. Okay? So that's what the Rambam says now in Halacha Hey, addressing our situation today. So you have two Chachayim or two Batidin, they're arguing, and it's like in our day and age, we don't have a Sanhedrin. Oh, actually, Gia Davalan, Ben Bezman Echad, Ben Bezachazet. So, or alternatively, even if there was a Sanhedrin, right, but the issue had not reached the Beis Din HaGadol yet. So this scenario could also happen even when there was a Beis Din HaGadol. But let's say these are two Chachayim in Bavel, right, that are arguing, right? So it'll take time till the Shiloh gets to the Beis Din HaGadol. So what do you do in the meantime? Right? And it makes a difference whether these two people lived at the same time, the two opponents, you know, the two Bar Pluktas that are arguing. Or Bezeh Acharzeh, you know, or I'm a person living 100 years later, 50 years earlier, someone was Matir, and 75 years earlier, there was someone that Asered. It makes a difference whether these two opinions are still alive or not. They don't have to be around. Right? They don't have to be coexistent. Right, I'm seeing that historically there was this daya and it was that daya, and they're not living people anymore. Right, that's Ben Bezacha, Ben Bezacha, where they lived at the same time, where they don't live at the same time. There's two opinions on the matter. Right, both of the people who posit these opinions are dead. Right, but what am I supposed to do? I see that in records, this has been that opinion. So, now, if you don't have an opinion of your own, so if what's at stake is a Doraisa issue, always follow the Machmir. If what's at stake is a Derabbanan issue, you go after the Mekel. But look what the Rambam says. I mean, this is quoting the Gemara. You don't have your own opinion. Meaning, if you have your own opinion, you do what you think. There's no one to tell you that you're wrong, because there's no Beis Din HaGadol. Well, yeah, of course, it has to be a qualified opinion. You know how to learn, right? What? No. Chazal, in the opinion of Chazal, 1 in 1,000 people who go to yeshiva are qualified. Echad Yotza out of 1,000. Yeah. So you have to, if you're reality challenged, I don't know what to, you need help if you're reality challenged. Now, I tell you, that person's not reality challenged. He learned the sugya. He knows the din, in his opinion. He follows his own opinion. You don't know the din. I don't have an opinion. So, for a deraisa, you always follow the machmir. For a derabban, you always follow the mekel. That is, what? No. Uh-huh. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. That's okay. Yeah. No, we didn't get there yet. Okay. We have to do with just two more halachos in the Rambam over here, and then we take a step in the wild blue yonder. Here. So let's take a look in Perek Sheni. Even back in the days when there was a Beis Din HaGadol. Beis Din HaGadol shedoshu bachas min amidos kfi ma shenir b'neim shadin kach v'donudin. Right, so the Beis Din HaGadol made a drasha. We're talking about, because, you know, the transmission we learned is incontrovertible. Right? You can't argue with the time. So what are we talking about over here? The Beis Din HaGadol made a chiddush. Right? They made a chiddush. Came a later Beis Din HaGadol. They don't like that chiddush. Right? They use that gezeirah shavah from that. They think that's more mistaber to learn a different din from that gezeirah shavah. They don't agree with that Kal V'chomer. They think that Kal V'chomer could be schlubbed up. Right? They disagree with that Svara. They can do that. A later Beis Din HaGadol, even if they're not greater, they could be smaller. Right? Right? And so the Rambam says, John Q. Public, let's say I lived a very long life, and I saw that the old Beis Din HaGadol, you know, they were much greater than this current Beis Din HaGadol. Or history says that the Beis Din HaGadol that came before this one, the Beis Din HaGadol that this Beis Din HaGadol is arguing on, that Beis Din HaGadol of 100 years were much greater. Not that they're arguing, they're just arguing. Well, we don't learn that way. We don't learn that way. We learn Torah differently. We went through the sugya from scratch. And we came out differently. We came out differently. We started from scratch, remember that? Now differently? So the ruling of the other Beis Nagor is overturned, and everyone in that generation has to follow their Beis Nagor. Even though, you know, there might be old times that remember the old one, say, but those guys are much bigger. Those guys are much bigger. You have to follow the Beis Nagor of your generation. Because there's also a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, right? Ela shofet asher yiyeh bayomim, and go to that will be in those days. So Chazal make the drasha. En atachayev leches el achar Beis Din shebet dorecha. You have to follow the leaders of your generation, the Beis Din of your generation. So even though but they're arguing, people are much bigger. No, you are chayev to listen to your Beis Din Agadol of your generation. Right, and you have that mitzvah say to them, and if you disobey them, you're over on Lo Yisasur. But they were much greater. Nothing doing. Nothing doing. Excuse me? Again, we can't argue on the transmission, right? But on Chidushim, every generation should learn their way. Every generation should learn their way. That's by Doraisas. What the Ram just said was regarding Doraisas. You know, they learned from a Gzera Shava this din, or from a Kal Vachomer this din, or Misvara, right? The Rabbans are slightly different. That's Halacha Beis, right? Right? If they may institute a Rabbanan, a Gzera Takana Minhag, and I want to uproot their Gzera, right? You can't do it unless you're greater than they are. B'chokhma u'b'min, both by in wisdom and in number. Right? So Ram says, how are you greater in number? Everyone's just 71. Every basically same number, 71. Right? So, ha'yagol chokhma u'b'min, b'min av lo b'chokhma eni yochol v'batul tzvam. V'afir v'batul tam, sh'b'gol gazor shoyim, o'itkinu en achol yochol v'batul at you g'dolim me'em. Right? Makes no difference. You need to be both greater in wisdom and in number. And even if the reason why they instituted that gzera is no longer applicable, makes no difference. You can't overturn it until you're bigger than them. B'chachma u'b'minyan. So the Rambam just asked the obvious question: Ech you gedon b'min? V'ho v'chol beizin beizin shol shivim ve'echadu? How can you be bigger in number? Every beizin is only 71 max, right? You can't have a bigger beizin than that. So what does he mean? Zeh min chachmei dor she'iskimu v'kiblu adava shomu beis nagor v'lo cholku bo. That's talking about the number of how large was the majority that it passed by. Let's say when they instituted that takana drabon, it passed by a majority of only three. It was, you have to find documents. That's what it means. You have to know exactly by what majority passed. It passed by 42 viestas, right? 21, whatever. Math, not my, right? There you go, right? Right? So, you're based in that wants to overturn that takana. You have to first of all be greater scholars, and also, this overturning of it has to pass by 50 people, or 41 at least. It has to pass by a larger majority than the takana was instituted with. Beats me. I don't know. Fine. Obviously, it is possible. I don't know how, but it's possible because we have a coined halacha like this.
Did it happen?
I don't know. Yeah, it happened. Yeah, it happened. Someone must have had that information. Right? Otherwise, you can't do it. It was done. Okay. So now, we're not even going to read Halacha Gimel inside. Right? But I'll just say it outside, that there's a halachic difference between something that's a siyog and not a siyog. Something which was instituted to protect the Torah, right, can never be overturned. A siyog has special backing. Okay, that's halacha gimel. Okay, a siyog, because a siyog that's trying to protect the Torah becomes like Torah itself, it becomes unchangeable. So let's say, I'll put it here. Kitnius. Right? Kitnius. Right? You might be stuck with it forever. Right? Because you know, it depends what the time for kitnius is. Right? Because if it's going to be cause, you're going to mix it up with chametz, the siag for chametz, not changeable. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just giving an example from Kitnius. We haven't even gotten to the whole Pandora's box of how Torah works ever since the Beis HaGadol was abolished. Right? See what we just learned, it's chaos, right? Beis HaGadol is abolished, so we only, if you don't have your own opinion, so with the Rice always goes to Chumrah, and with the Rabban always goes to Kula, right? So anyway, alright, but we know we have certain centralized halacha, Mishnah, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch. Question is how that works. Okay. Yes.
The Rambam said that that we are not
Ma
called to write the.
Yeah.
The Rambam said that we're not called to write the two and two.
Yeah, but
how does
but
that
these.
Work with that?
No, fine. But anyway, these are the laws that were instituted as far as what the Rambam's quoting a Gemara over here. So there are ground rules in how you handle Durabbanan. So, you know, when you want to overturn a Durabbanan, the Beis Din institutes a Durabbanan. So even though it's not coming from Lo Sasur, the Ramban still agrees, even though it's not coming from Lo Sasur, there's still ground rules in how you could overturn a ruling. Make sure this is whether these ground rules are Midoraisa or not. Okay. There's two obvious questions here. Right? First of all, why are we more machmir by a derabbanan than a deraisa? By a deraisa, you could overturn it just because you learn differently. You're smaller. There's no smaller, you know, not as bright, and it passes by a smaller majority. As long as it passes by, they could overturn a deraisa. These new halachas were how to handle with dine deraisa. Not a derasa for the transmission. The chiddush that they said, the chiddush in Hilchos Shabbos, the chiddush they said in Hilchos Kiddushin, right? And by derabbanan, all of a sudden, you know, to overturn, say it's only derabbanan, you have to be greater in wisdom than in number. What sense does that make? Right? By derasa, just by the fact that you learn differently, it's overturned. If it's a smaller majority, then the majority of past, right? Only exactly 36 people think like me, and the way that, you know, that chiddush, that gezeira shava that they said, you know, that passed by a majority of 69, it's overturned. Just because we learn differently, it's overturned, right? We'll deal with people on earth. Everyone here is on earth. Like what? Right. I'm saying, again, why is it that, my question is not how is it possible in the first place, not what I'm asking. I'm asking why we are more stringent with the Rabbanan than we are with the right. The criteria for overturning a Rabbanan are more stringent than the criteria to overturn a chiddush that was said to extend the dine doraisa. That's my question. I mean, that's the question that the achronim deal with. There are a few approaches to the issue. I'll tell you the one I like the most. You know, it's the way also I, you know, I have in my Sefer. Every generation is meant to learn their own way. But the Rabbanans are not a product of learning. Why do they institute the Rabbanan? Not because of something that they saw in a Pasuk. Why I learned that Pasuk differently. They thought that this is what's good for the people. Right? It's not a product of Talmud Torah, these Rabbanans. Right? They didn't institute these Rabbanans because this is the way they learn. That's the Doraisas. Right? We talk about new Rabbanans that they institute because they think it'll be good, it'll, you know, help safeguard the law. How we doing? Are we overloaded already? This is just background. This is just background. We didn't get to the main point yet. What? It's okay? No, the kids are burning something outside. Are you sure?
Maybe that's
very
awesome.
The kids are burning something outside.
They asked permission to do it out in front. I said no, I'll get all messy with the stone.
Okay, fine. Fine. So I'm trying to explain. Right? Every generation should learn their own way. But the Rabbanans are not a product of Talmud Torah. I'm sure it's a product of intellect, but it's not a product of how to learn up. They said, this will be good for the people. We think this is good. This is our professional recommendation. Right? You shouldn't be overturning their recommendation if you're not smarter than them and greater than them. Right? It comes from their chashivas. Right? This is their recommendation. You shouldn't overturn a recommendation unless you're greater. You have a more professional opinion. You have to be greater in wisdom and a greater majority. But learning, every generation was meant to learn their own way.
But if the recommendation they made was relevant to the generation they were living in, then wouldn't it make sense that maybe you're not as smart as them, but in your generation the recommendation isn't so relevant?
Fine. So it makes no difference because they knew that, you know, the Takana, you know, automatically extends for all generations, right? So they took that into account when they instituted the Takana. So if I'm going to disagree with them, disagree with their recommendation, I'd better be smarter. Right. They write this, every generation was meant to learn their own way. Learning the Torah, every generation is meant to learn the Torah their own way. Yeah. Right. But the Rabbanim is not an issue of learning. It's a decree. You better be more chashuv than them if you don't want to listen to what they decree upon you. Right? Not clear the difference? Lord, everyone should learn their own way. Everyone should interpret the Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat for every generation their own way. Right? But it is what they told you to do. You better be more chashuv to them than them if you don't want to listen to them. It's what they decreed upon you. It's not the way they learn. It's what they decreed upon you. Right? You don't want to listen to their recommendation, you know, which they imposed upon you. You better have, you know, better be more proficient. You better be more chashuv. Right? All right, that's the small question. The big question is like this, what the Kesef Mishnah over here deals with. We're not going to read it inside. You know, the Chaz Mish went bananas with this Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah asked the simple question everyone should be asking. Someone actually basically did ask it. So why do we find in the Gemara that the Amoraim will not argue with the Tanaim? Well, you see a later Beis Din could argue with an earlier Beis Din. Matter of fact, in the Gemara, that's how one Amora refutes the other Amora. He shows that he's inconsistent with a Mishnah. Well, based on what we just learned, there's nothing wrong with that. A later generation could argue with an earlier generation, even if they are smaller, everyone ought to learn their own way, right? That's the question that Kesef Mishnah asked over here. It's a big one. Right? Well, Amoraim don't argue on Tanoim. Why not? And, you know, it's... So the Kesef Mishnah says they accepted upon themselves not to do it. It was a self-imposed practice. Do their own thing, you know? They had plenty of room. They're adding, you know, they wrote a whole Talmud for crying out loud. They're what to keep themselves busy with, right? So the fact that, you know, for self-imposed, says the Kesef Mishnah. Right? Oh, no, sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm. Really? Right. Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. Right. You're asking a very good question. We'll deal with that question. Okay? But that's Kesef Mishnah's approach. It was a self-imposed thing. They were makab on themselves not to argue on the Tanoim. The Chazon Ish goes nuts with that. Yes? Right. Right, Ad Mafriya. Okay? Chazon Ish says, forget where, his famous Chazon Ish, but how can you say that they were just blown away? It wasn't like self-imposed. They just knew how small they are and how big the Tanoim were that they felt they just couldn't open their mouth. And the words of the Chazon Ish, Ha'emes Chivan, right? The truth, the reality of the situation, you know, forced them, obligated them, right, not to argue with the Tanoim. So I mean to say, you know, if they would argue with the Tanoim, it would mean that they were insane, they were reality challenged. Because they were not reality challenged, they knew their place, and that's what the Chazon Ish goes on to say, that no, there is a concept that, you know, when a door knows that they're really less, so, you know, being real with how small you are is mechayev of you to keep your mouth shut. The Chazon Ish believes in that. Right, I stress, the Chazon Ish believes in that. So, what's the Rambam talking about? Well, the Rambam didn't say black on white that the next base in Agoda was smaller. He just didn't stress that they're bigger like he did by the Durabonim. Well, roughly, you know, in the same league. But Amoraim, that, you know, knew that they were much smaller than the Tanoim, like they write in, you know, a few places in Shach, that they speak about how they're much smaller than their predecessors. So the reality of the situation obligates you to keep your mouth shut. If you know who you are, then you know your place. And if you know your place, you keep your mouth shut, because you know your place. It's not a nightmare. I know you don't enjoy hearing it. How this it. A lot of people think that this is normative Orthodox Judaism, for that matter, what the Chazon Ish says.
What? If the Amoraim felt the place of the Tanaim, then even
Chazon Ish
should feel the same
case as anything. That's right. Do we say that? What's the last time you argued with the Tana?
I don't know. Yeah.
There you go.
I don't understand how you can feel your job and you're looking forward.
Because there's so much room left to do. There's so much work left to do. Believe me, you know, we have so much work to do without arguing on anybody from previous generations. Is there any shortage of work to do? There's no shortage. Right? The Amoraim didn't argue on the Tanoim, and they still wrote a whole Talmud. Right? But others, he believes that there is a concept of Yeridas Haderes. He believes in this, concept lahalacha v'lamasha. Not just that it's a riyatam, it's a sad thing. No, he believes in it that a door being less than its predecessors is machayev them to not argue with them. Know who you are, know your place, keep your mouth shut. Right? That's the Chazon Ish. It's not like this Kesef Mishnah. He argues on the Kesef. He quotes the Kesef Mishnah and he rejects the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah was written by whom? Excuse me. Alright. Fine. Okay. Alright. So we're not going to jump the gun. But we're holding a question. Someone here raised a question that we have to hold in mind. So what obligates us? The Amorayim accept upon themselves to not argue with the Tanoim. So, okay, the Amorayim are all gone. We're here now. What stops us? Right. Hold the question. Hold the question. Okay. Die. Okay. Fine. Okay, so yeah, please. Fine. Here. The question is like this. How does halacha work ever since the Beis Din HaGadol has been abolished? Do we not have any type of system to opt in, conclusively? Maher. Ma? Ma? Okay, just go. Fine. How does halacha work the abolition of the Beis Din HaGadol? Okay, fine. We're going to switch text now. We'll go to Rambam's Hakdama to the Yad HaChazaka. Fine, I'm going to distribute the books. We're not going to read the whole Hakdama, we'll just read what's pertinent to how Halacha has worked since the Beis Din HaGadol fell apart. Okay? Which the Rambam deals with in his Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah. I just want to find the appropriate place. Okay, so we will start from the bottom line of second column. If you see, I have another one here. 1 second. Is there what you want to call quit too much? I want free to go. Okay. Getting too boring or anything? Just fine. Everything's fine. Go. Fine. Right? Over here. Here's me, sir. This one. It starts from Hill of the Shammai. In your edition, that's now towards the bottom of the second column of the first page. Okay. So Rambam opens up and he's going through the whole Mishra of, you know, the transmission of, you know, Torah Shebaal Peh from Moshe and Sinai down to Ravina and Ravashi. It was 40 generations. So we're starting pretty late in history because I want to show you something cool. Right? If you take a look, you know, just scan, you know, in all different generations. So you see, it's all the generations that are listed in the first parak of Avos. Yeah, here's in Kabbalah from him, Kabbalah from him, Kabbalah from him. Said the Rambam's a little bit more detail because in the Mishnah, it just jumps to the Skenim, to the Nevi'im. Yeah, and the Rambam lists who were the Skenim, who were the Nevi'im, you know, all the way down. But if you take a look, there's always, the Rambam said, it wasn't, you know, these were just the leaders of the Beis Din, right? Yosef Yazar, Yisrael, Ubeis Dina, Kibu Matigus, Ubeis Dina, Yeshua ben Pachidai, Ubeis Dina, Kibu, Mi Yosef, right, etc., etc. It's always, they're Beis Din. Like, what's listed in the Mishnah in Avos, these two guys, right, they were the heads of the Beis Din. But, like, as we learned in Hilchos Mamrim, you know, what embodied the Torah's temple was the Beis Din. These two that are mentioned, they were the leaders of the Beis Din, but it was the Beis Din, Agoda, B'Yerushalayim, Haim, Ikar, Torah, Shebaal Peh, like the Rambam said. The living embodiment of the oral law, when there was a Beis Din, was the Beis Din Agoda. That is the living embodiment. So these two that are always there mentioned in it, you know, they were the leaders of the Beis Din. The Beis Din Agoda was the embodiment of Torah, Shebaal Peh. These leaders of the Beis Din gave it over to the next Beis Din Agoda that was led by these two. So I'm just making clear. Now, don't think it was just, you know, the whole Mishra was hinging on these two guys. They were the leaders of the whole Beis Din Agoda, which is, like we learned, the living embodiment of Torah Shebaal Peh in every generation. Right. Now watch an interesting shift in the Rambam's Lashon. Right? So it goes all the way down like this to, Hill of Shammai Ubeis Dinam, right? Hill and Shammai sat in the same Beis Din still. Hill and Shammai themselves, Chazal said, only argued on six things. Right? It was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? You know, couldn't agree on anything, right? They're Talmidim. Right? Hill and Shammai Ubeis Dinam, and they're Beis Din. Right? So they were Makabel from Shammai and Naphtali, right? Right? So now watch, you know, Shalmisa. Right. Was that your cola? Okay, sir. Okay. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Shimon ben Moshe Hillel, Azaka, and Kiblu Mehillel, Ubeis Dinam. Now, Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Hillel, they received from Hillel Azaka and Shammai, and they're Beis Din. Chamish Talmidim of Yochanan ben Zakkai goes through all the five Talmidim, right? Then Rosh Kuhn, then Rosh Agoda, Yeshua, right? All the names, right? Right, and after that was, you know, Rabbi Kiva, Kiba, Rabbi Rosh Agoda, Yosef, Geratelika, Rishmo, right? What's missing? Right? Beis Dinam. Why?
There wasn't one anymore.
That's right, because, right, like we learned, in the days of Hillel and Shammai, that was the last Beis Din Agoda. After that was Churban HaBayis. So the Rambam doesn't use the word Beis Din anymore because there wasn't one. Right? The Beis Din Agoda was kaput. These are the generations of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, where the Jewish people couldn't agree on anything. These are the generations that span the schools of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. These are the superstars of these generations. that we call Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? So, but listen to this. Like, so, we go down the generations, right? You with me? So now, Rabbi Shim, we're up to Rabbi Gamliel b'no Kibo Rabbi Shimon mimeno, Rabbi Shimon b'no Kibo mimeno, Rabbi Yehuda b'noi. So Rabbi Shimon, zeh amiko Rabbeinu Hakadosh. You have it. This one called Rabbeinu Hakadosh. Vu Kibo me'aper and solus love. Rabbi Shimon v'chaverah. Rabbeinu Hakadosh chiber haMishnah. Right, he's the one who wrote the Mishnah. Umimosh Rabbeinu Ad Rabbeinu Hashochiv Chibu Chibu Shmamso Barabim B'Teira Ela B'Chol Davidah Reish Beizin Ol Navi Shabbosto Kaisel Atzibol Zichron Shmuel Shel Rabbeisav Mora Peran. The Chiddush of the Mishnah says the Rambam is that this is a book that they used to teach, as the Rambam just said, until Rabbeinu HaKadosh, they taught Baal Peh, even though people kept notes. People always kept notes. Now that everyone called Zichron Shmuel, everyone always wrote, you know, their notes, but they weren't allowed to teach from their notes. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that you're allowed to teach a book. Right? The din of not writing the Torah Shebaal Peh down is to not teach from a text Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? But it's mutter to keep notes. They always kept notes. It's not to create, not to teach from a text. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that there's a text of Torah Shebaal Peh that we are teaching. Right? All right. Very important thing to know. Right?
And they were able to make that
clear
because of the...
That's right. That's right. That's what the Ram goes on to explain. Right. Right, it goes on. So, and he's just saying that until everyone wrote for themselves, you know, notes, Ram goes on to explain, everyone kept notes from the Chidush and that, but they didn't teach from their notes. Can't ever tell me out of there, but until that's where it is until Rabbeinu Kaddish. Right? Vu kibetz ko ha-shmus, v'cho ha-dil, v'cho ha-biyun, v'ha-pirushim, sh'shom imosho b'enu, sh'lamdu b'esim b'cho ha-dolode v'cho ha-tokula, v'chibra ha-kol sefer ha-mishnah. Right? So now he gathered together all the information, all the biyurim, all the pirushim, everything that he heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, and the chidushim of every generation. From all of it, he assembled the Mishnah. Right? He assembled the Mishnah. Right? Okay. So then I'm skipping a few lines because there are a lot of Rebbe do it, he says. He writes it because, you know, the Torah would have been forgotten. But just like 3-4 lines down. The Yoshev Ko Yamav, who Ubeis Vinoi, Vilamdu Mishnah Barabbah. He and his Beis Din sat and taught Mishnah. That was their chiddush. We're not teaching Torah. We're not teaching Torah, but we're teaching a text. We're teaching Mishnah. But he said, who Ubeis Vinoi, he and his Beis Din, right, taught Mishnah. What do we see from here? He pulled together a Beis Din Agos. The authority of the Mishnah. Why is the Mishnah considered authority? So Rambam reveals over here why the Mishnah is considered authority. It was endorsed by a Beis Din. Rebbe pulled one together. Right. I'll bring you another riot. This is what the Rambam holds. Now, a lot of people don't see this diuk in the Rambam. It's missed it. They assume that the Mishnah's authority because it was accepted. Now, the Maritzchi, a lot of people say that, and that's fine. That would also work. It was accepted. But I'm showing you that the Rambam understood that the reason why the Mishnah became authority is because it Rebbe pulled together a Beis Din Agadah. Now, even though the Beis Din Agadah didn't sit in Yerushalayim, because he lived in the Galilee, he lived in Sipuri. Right? So, true, when the Beis Din doesn't sit in Yerushalayim, there are certain halachas that certain authorities they no longer have. They can't do corporeal punishment. There's no death sentence if the Beis Din does not sit in Yerushalayim. Right? There's no death sentence. And also the Zaken Mamre doesn't get killed if he argues with them, if they are not sitting in the Lishkas Hagos. Let's say the Beis Nagoro is on a trip somewhere, right? And there the Zaken Mamre decides to pick on them and argue with them. And they gave him a straw, you're not allowed to do this, you can't argue with us, you know. Yeah? He doesn't get killed. Matan Chutzlim Kochlem, he doesn't get killed. But that's only that they lose certain executive powers when they're not sitting in the Lishkas HaGozis, but they still are considered to be the ultimate authority of the law. So even though they can't, you know, they can't cause someone to get killed for arguing with them, or they can't do dealing the freshest at all for that matter. Right? When the Beis Nago does not sit on Har HaBayis, there is no capital punishment, period. That's why we stopped killing people. That's why they haven't given skewer and all these. There hasn't been skewer since the Beis Nagoro left the Lishkas Hagodas.
Why did
this
Beis Nagoro left?
What?
Why did this Beis Nagoro
left? They all died. Why? No one lives forever.
Okay.
It's that simple. Yeah. But I'll show you a riot. This is definitely what the Rambam holds. It can be was jumping way ahead. No, this. If it gets too much, let me know. Right? Yeah. The Hayers. You see? The Hayers. Right. Yeah. Give me a Rambam. Matrix at 5:45. The Hayos. Yeah? Listen, so what's Ram writes over there? Ram is talking about how since the Talmud was sealed, there is no central authority of halacha. Right? What is the authority of the Talmud we're going to get to in a minute? It's our next topic. Right? But, so Ram's going that. You know, so even though there are batedinim that sit in different towns, right, but they don't have universal authority, right? And the Rambam says, right, Hey Yosef, the Beis Din is also meaning Yechidim because the Beis Din sits in the town, they're Yechidim. The Beis Din had Gadol Sheshim Chad Bato Mikama Shanim Kedem Chibur HaGemara. And the grammar of Benachor 71 was abolished quite a few years before the Gemara was written. Rambam is saying there, at the time of the Mishnah, there was a Beis Din HaGadol. Yeah, you know, it fell apart for a few generations. Rebbe HaKadosh and his project to create something that will be binding on all the Jewish people pulled together a Beis Din HaGadol, and that's how he pulled it off. That's why the Mishnah has authority. It was endorsed by a Beis Din HaGadol.
What does it mean to pull together a Beis?
As the Rambam explains in his Hakdamah, he brought all the Chacham to Tzipori. Anyone who was worth anything, you know, anyone who knew how to learn, everyone came to Tzipori. And together, you know, that massive think tank, with, you know, with that type of power behind them, they created the Mishnah. That's why the Mishnah is authoritative. But we find in halacha that, you know, and in the Gemara, that's what rules, right? You only prove an Amora wrong if you show that he went up against the Mishnah. And Amora could argue on a Brisa. Right? Meaning, and Amora is not considered to be definitely wrong if he's against a Brisa, necessarily. Against the Mishnah, he's wrong. So I'll tell you, the way I'm learning, right? So we have a different answer to the Kesef Mishnah's question. Kesef Mishnah asks, why do we find that the Amoraim don't argue with the Tanoim? So first of all, we find in Shas that they do. It's not true. It's not always true that they don't. They're considered wrong and defeated if they're up against a Mishnah. That's how a Amora is considered to be refuted. Refuted. Right? Because the Mishnah has the authority of a Beis Din HaGadol behind it, and the Amora is just one lonely guy. So a later Beis Din HaGadol can argue an earlier Beis Din HaGadol, but not a single Jew. Single Jew can't go up against the Beis Din HaGadol. The Amoraim were single people. If you show that the Amora is up against the Mishnah, it's the equivalent of saying the Amora was up against the Beis Din HaGadol. A later Beis Din HaGadol can argue an earlier Beis Din HaGadol. A Yachid can't.
So it's not
a question of him. The way I'm learning, the way I'm showing you, we have another way, an easier way, but yeah, to explain why the Amoraim are. It's not that they don't argue on the time. They don't argue on Mishnayos. They don't argue on Mishnah. That's my understanding. Next subject. Fine. You're still standing. Fine. If you're ready for more. Now we're going to talk about the Gemara. The Gemara is not a Beis Din HaGadol. It's different. And we're going to talk about now, you know, but the Gemara was the one last time there was centralized authority in Halacha. And we'll have to talk about how Halacha works ever since. It's not pretty. Okay. So in the same Hadgama of the Rambam, right, we're going to now jump to where he discusses Gemara. How Gemara got written and what the power of Gemara is. I just want to find the Okay, we're going to start from Ravina Ravashi. Ravina Ravashi. Yeah. Give me a Rambam. Ravina Ravashi. Ravina Ravashi. Okay. Ravina Ravashi and Sochach Be'Agmara. Right? So the end of the Chachbe'a Gemara. Right, they were the last generation that sealed the Talmud. Ravashi Shechibra Agmara, Bavastar Shinar, he's one who read the Babylon Talmud in Shinar in Iraq. Acha Shechibra Rabbi Yochanan, Agmara Yushamas, Bekamar Meyashonan, comes after Rabbi Yochanan, had written the Yerushalmi 100 years earlier. Ravina Shinar Agmara, now what the two Talmuds are about, who pierced Divrei HaMishnayos, Ubir Im Kosea, V'Dorash Yisatru, Bechol, Beizdin, V'Beizdin, Mimosar Be'akosh, V'ad Chibra Agmara. Right, it is to explain the Mishnah, to reveal its depths, and to also explain, you know, to also record, rather, all the new halachas that were nischadish between Rabbeinu HaKadosh and until the Gemara was written. Right, there was prophets later, new rulings, so the Gemara has that also. So it explains the Mishnah, and it also records the rulings that were made between the time of the Mishnah and their time. Which not was the Tosefta of Misafah, which is pray, because this parable of Asher v'Amutar, HaTomei v'Ator, Achiv v'Apotar, HaPasav v'Akosher, K'mosh Nikol Ishmish B'Pi Moshe Rabbeinu. So between the two Talmuds, the Tosefta, the Safar, the Sifrei, from between all of them is how we paskin halacha, what's Asher, what's Mutar, what's Tomei, what's Tahor, what's Chayev, what's Potar, what's Pasal, what's Kosher. And this is, you know, this is the transmission. You could rely on the Talmud that's telling you that which was transmitted person from person all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Gam yisparam em dvarm shez gazu chayim nevim shebechol dov edo lach shogatok. Moshe sham umi Moshe beferish. Shneem ushmartim es mishmarti, asu mishmars es shmarti. So also another thing you'll find in the Talmud is all the gzeros de Rabban. It's all recorded there. Right, we already commanded from Moshe Rabbeinu, Asu Mishmash Marti, make the Rabban, and every generation, you know, the Rabban, it's all recorded in the Talmud. Chayz Baba Minhagas Matakosh, Kino Asher Nagu B'chol Dor V'Dor, Kavosh Ro, Bezis also Ador, and also the Minhagim and the Takonis that were done in every generation, it was all recorded there. Everyone, you know, in the Talmud is recorded what every generation saw the generation before them doing. The three shots are lost, and Shneem are lost, and we call it very Gino Chai Yavis, so we cannot deviate from any Beis Din. Right? We're commanded to not deviate, not right, not left. Right? So that's the Chiyav, you know, again, what's going on, and the Beis Din every door, a Beis Din HaGadol, it carries with it Lois Sosur. Right? Right? Only a Beis Din HaGadol carries with it Lois Sosur, and we have to obey their rulings because of Lois Sosur. וכן משפטים ודין ופורם שלא קיבלו מוישה ודנו בהם בייז דין של אוסו הדור ומיר של תורס בהם ופוסקו אוסו מעסקן וגומו שדין כחו right, and also things that weren't received directly from Moshe Rabbeinu but you know, every the Beis Din of a particular generation sat and they paskin that halacha right, it all got compiled into the Talmud okay? Hakol chibur Rav Ashi b'Gemara mi'Moshe Rav Ashi mi'Rav Adyav. Everything, all the information of Torah about that, from Moshe all the way down to Rav Ashi, it's all in the Talmud. The chibur chachmei meishah chibur machem farsh divrei. We could skip the next few lines, just talking about other books that we have in Torah about that, right? But now we go back to Nimtza. So it comes out like this. We're getting back to the authority of the Talmud. Right? What we learned so far is that the Talmud has everything in it. Right? Nothing's missing from the Talmud. All the Torah Shabbat of all the generations, Rav Ashi pulled it all into the Talmud. Nimtza, so it comes out like this, and Rambam is now explaining the authority of the Talmud. Nimtza, so it comes out like this. Ravina Rav Ashi, v'chavreim, sof gedolei chachmei Yisrael ha-ma'atikim Torah Shabbat. They are the last of the wise men of Israel who are called the transmitters of Torah Shabbat. Then the transmission is over. There's like no step after the Talmud. It's just a matter of hanging on to the Talmud for dear life. You know what he's saying? The Talmud is the last transmission. Meaning, you know, the Torah Shabbat went through many shapes and forms, right? It was originally just oral drushes, right? And then it became the Mishnah. You know, with a lot of stuff still retained Baal Peh, you know, and, you know, the Talmud is the final form that the Torah Shabbat Peh took on. It has not taken on a different form since. It's called that the transmission has stopped. It's the only thing we have. So there's no other option. What? Meaning, it is, what the Rambam is telling you, that even his book, this is not considered to be a continuation, right? The last living embodiment of Torah, the last form that Torah took on was the Talmud. And that is its form, Ad Hayom Hazeh. The Talmud is the Talmud and Torah Shabbat Peh are synonymous. They are the Sofa Ma'atikim. They're the last of the ones who are copying the Torah. You know. The Rambam is not a new form of Torah Shabbat Peh. The Shulchan Aruch is not a new form of Torah Shabbat Peh. They're just commentaries on the Talmud. The Talmud is where it stops. There's it doesn't metamorphosize after that anymore. It stops there. What?
What?
I don't know why.
Or because
It's called. I don't know, my Rebbe Rosh Hashim Zichron Vali held because, you know, we're just not competent anymore, right? We cannot play that role of, like, rehashing the Torah Shabbat, you know, as it were, giving it over, you know, reforging the Torah Shabbat in our own image, which is what it means. It was, you know, transferred. It was like the style of running of this Canaan, and then the style of running of the Nevi'im, and then the style of running of the Anshkets of Goa. We lost that power. We just hang on to the Talmud for dear life. Right? So my Rebbe held, we're not competent. I don't know if that has to be the shot, because of lack of competency, but it's just the fact. Right? Well, we still haven't gotten to yet why it's authoritative. There's three reasons why it's authoritative. Right? So they're the end of the Ma'atikim of Teresh Baal Peh. Right, they're the end of the transmitters of Perush Baal Peh. It doesn't, you know, it's not Perush Baal Peh. It's not. It doesn't evolve from that point onwards. You know, in the transmission, every gets reshashed. You know, as it's it's called as the transmission. Stop with Ravina Vasha. We just hang on to that for dear life, right? And we'll show that. We'll show that that's the halacha. Talmud is the Perush Baal Peh. It used to be at the Beit Nagola was Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, ever since the Talmud, the Talmud is the Torah Shabbat Peh, and that's the way it is Ad Hayom Hazeh. Right? Shagazuk Zeh, Tzitzir, Takonis, Nihil, Minhagos, Pashuk Zeh, Takonis, Minhagos, B'chol Yisrael, B'chol Makos, Mosem. They were the last Beis Din also that they made, no, not Beis Din. They were last, the Ravina and Rav Ashi were the last two people that had this universal authority that whatever they were geyser, right, it, edicts that they decreed spread. Although the whole Jewish world obeyed them. Right? Right? All the takanas and minhagos, you know, pashta b'chol Yisrael, spread to all the Jewish people, b'chol makomos moshavos, wherever they dwell. They were the last people to have universally accepted authority. The whole Jewish people followed Ravina and Rav Ashi. Right? And whatever they were doing, that was good with them. Right? That was good with the people. But after the basin of Ravashi that he pulled together the Gemara, he didn't have a basin of 71. It just means he had his, you know, people. Because the Ram said in a minute, you know, minutes later that the Grand Rabbinical Court was bought already before the writing of the Gemara. It means his local basin. Not he didn't have a Grand Rabbinical Court. Right? After that, this Pazel Chorotov Pizor Yeser V'Yilaksos V'Imar Achaikim. After that, the Jewish people scattered, and they went to the far edges of the earth, and to the far islands. And there was great wars in the world, and, you know, the paths, you know, the travel paths were, you know, the Shtatz of Gaza were full of, you know, military going back and forth so people couldn't pass, you know, and travel. And now the Jewish people no longer went to learn in yeshiva in the tens of thousands as it was before. Right, just, you know, the individuals that Hashem calls to gather in every town. Right? So, you know, ever since then, everyone's just, you know, individuals gather every town and they learn. And, you know, from their learning, you know, they try to figure out what is the halacha. So listen to this. V'chol beizin shamat achar ha-gemara v'chol medina u-medina v'gazar v'hitkin o-hidik l'bnei medinos o-bnei medinos ralas lo pashtu ma'asa v'chol yisrael v'prei richuk moshe v'yseyem v'shibus ha-drachim. Right? Every beizin that has stood up ever since the sealing of the Talmud, that ever decreed something for, be it if they intended to decree it for just the people of their town, or they wanted to decree something for the whole people. They want to make a decree that such and such should be also for everybody, right? Their psak, you know, their takana did not spread, right, throughout the Jewish people because of how people are just so separated. They also based in Shosa Medina Yechidit, who based in Goshen Rechot, Bottom Yikam Hashanim, Karm Chila Gmor. Right, and another reason, there are two reasons why. There's a technical reason why no Beis Din sitting somewhere could have authority over the whole Jewish people. there's a technical reason that number one, well, because the whole Jewish people are not united. You know, they can't gather together, right? So the psak won't carry because there's no communication between here and there. So they'll be unaware of the psak, right? But another reason is because this basin doesn't have that type of authority anyway. They're yechidim. It's a basin of a few, right? The grand rabbinical court of 71 was already abolishing before the writing of the Gemara. They don't have the type of authority to have a universal standing, meaning a standing that their psak should be binding on the whole Jewish people. Lefikach, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, ain kreifin atribidus ul'nal kabidah midin akaris. If this is the custom, this is the psak in this country, we don't say to the people in France, right, the basin in England, Paskin, such and such, you ought to follow them. No. France is its own entity. No basin has authority outside of its own borders. We don't force another anti-medicinal, they're a community of the United States. They don't mean the basin there, nor do we say to the basin in France, right, fine, so the basin in England doesn't have authority over France, but you, the basin in France, so follow the lead of the basin in England and be guys are the same xero for your people. No, I don't have to. The basin, so even though, so lomi baya, right, that, you know, the basin in England does not have authority on anyone that's not directly under their, you know, control, right? But we cannot even say, they can't even say to their colleagues in France, okay, we can't push your people around, but why don't you do as we do?
Can you, like, make
a
suggestion?
You can suggest anything. As I said, you know, ain't Kaifu. We don't force any basin in France to tell them, you know. No. Because no one basin has universal authority anymore.
Could they have authority over their area?
Over their area. Question is why. We'll deal with that, right? Why do they have authority over their area? We're going to deal with that. But they only have authority. Ever since the Talmud was sealed, there's no such thing as something that has authority over all Jewry. The Talmud was the last entity of that sort. Doesn't make a difference. There's nothing, because he's not the Talmud.
And he doesn't
what? All right, look, we're not going to get bogged down on the, I'll get to it. Right? Let's just talk about halakhically, right? וכן אם לא בדרך על הגויים שדרך המשפט ככה ונסבר לבייזן אחר שאומר אחר אבשאין זה דרך המשפט הקוסף בגמורה אין שומן לראשון אלא למי שדעס נטר דבר בין ראשון באחר. Alright, so not only Takana saying Xeris, but let's tell this. One of the Gaonim, one of the Rosh Yeshiva. One of the Rosh Yeshiva, he explained the Talmud like this, right? Came, there's another Gaon in another town, he doesn't like it, man. He doesn't learn that way. Or even in the same town, right? They lived one after the other, right? Who do you listen to? To the one who you think interpreted the Talmud more accurately. No one has their own authority anymore. It's all about the Talmud. Who really understood the Talmud better? So the Talmud becomes the only standard. It's just the Talmud. No one has their own authority anymore. I'm a big rabbi. The question is, did you learn the Gemara right? Did you not learn the Gemara right? That's what it hinges on. I don't know. Right? It makes no difference. Like the Rambam says, who do you listen to? To the one who it sounds like, no, that's the pshat. Like, you know, the way he's saying, that's the pshat in the Gemara.
It's okay to listen to one thing, and you can't start listening to somebody else. You have to be consistent.
No, you don't have to be consistent. You just have to not be inconsistent. There's a difference.
It's not a question of choosing whatever's
most
convenient,
but you have to... No, God, there is a real standard. What is more faithful to the Talmud? The Talmud becomes, after the Talmud, that is the definition of Torah. There's no other definition for Torah other than the Talmud. And that's what the Rambam said. So he pops in this, he pops in that way. Who do you listen to? The one who thinks more accurately reflects the Talmud. That's who you listen to. There's no such thing as rabbinical authority, kibyoko, you know, in its own right. It's all the Talmud. It's all the Talmud. You listen to the one who you think more accurately explained the Talmud. Now, all this I'm talking about, you know, the gzeres and takonas and minhagas that, you know, all these instituted that were instituted after the Gemara, like let's say Cherem Rabbeinu Gershon or Kitnius, all these things. That you see, it's not universally binding. Not only do people accept it, it's binding. People didn't accept it, it's not binding, right? Of a cause of the Gemara Bavli, but everything that's in the Babylonian Talmud, Chayav Kosh Alachas Bam, all the Jewish people must follow it. The Kovid Kol Iyav Iyav Chomadir Linov B'Chomadir Shenagul Chachmei Gemara, the Ligs of Zerosav Lech Tachaz, that we're going to fight. And we hear a town is not following the Bavli. They're following the Yerushalmi. Yeah, that's the Shigas. Right? They're following, they're going with the, we're going to be careful, we're going to force them. You know, it's war. There's no such thing. Everyone's got to do like the Bavli. So whereas in halacha that arose since the sealing of the Talmud, right? So everyone does like their rav, right? Everyone does like their local beis din. So the local beis din's, you know, edicts are binding on that place. And vis-a-vis understanding how to properly uphold the mitzvahs, whoever, you know, whoever we think interpreted the Talmud better, right? Yeah, but for these things, that could be a matter of opinion, obviously. So you'll find that, you know, so one town does it this way, one town does it that way. Right? But that's only on halacha that has arisen since the Talmud that there could be a thing like that. That one town does it one way, one town does it the other way. But regarding what's written in the Talmud, the whole Jewish people are equally obligated to uphold it. And if we hear that the town is not keeping the Talmud, we fight. You know, curse them, you fight, you know, you just put them in cherem, whatever it takes to make them uphold the Talmud.
What's
the
Yerushalmi?
What?
What's the Yerushalmi?
So Yerushalmi does not have this standing in halacha. Yerushalmi is, you know, it's a holy book, but it's not the definitive Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what the Bavli is, and that's what the Rambam comes to explain why. Right, this is the punchline. Why, where does this authority come from? That, you know, that the Talmud is like the new Torah Shebaal Peh. It used to be the Beis Din HaGadol, like we learned. Then it was the Mishnah, but it was fueled by the Beis Din HaGadol. That's why the Mishnah became the new Torah Shebaal Peh. And now there's the Talmud. And that's it. It hasn't moved from there since, as we're going to show. Right? So why is that? Where does the authority come from? Yeah.
I mean, we're
going to
just
ask
the Shulchan Aruch.
It's not. Yes, I'm going to show you the Shulchan Aruch. It's not what you think it is. All right. It's not what you think it is. That's why I should not have anyway. So where did it come from? Hayo! Right, Hayo since. Chos of Rachel Gemara. He schema lam koyisar. There are three components to the argument over here. First of all, everything that's written in the Gemara was agreed upon by all the Jewish people. Right? And also the people from which, you know, the different, you know, Amoraim, you know, all the, you know, that the Talmud is assembled from is all the wise people of the Jewish people that ever lived, or most of them. And they are the people that heard the transmission all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. picked, the Rambam said three things over here to explain why the Yerushalmi, the Bavli rather, and not as opposed to the Yerushalmi, is, you know, the Torah. Right. Number one, it's unanimously accepted. That was number two, it is Kol Chachmeso or Ruba. Right. It's most of, you know, the wise men of Israel. Right, so it was, wasn't a particular group of rabbis. Talmud Bavli was collated from all the Rabbanim of all the generations. That's what he said. Rav Ashi pulled it all together. So it's really, the Talmud is not built on a particular group of people. It's built on Kol Chachmei Yisrael or Lefachot Ruba. And what type of Chachmei Yisrael are we saying? That they heard the transmission all the way back to Moshe Rabbein. They heard the transmission all the way back. These are the three things the Rambam says. Because the Yerushalmi is not Kol Chachmei Yisrael. And it's also not Hiskimu and Kol Yisrael. Yerushalmi is missing two out of three. I don't actually, the ones who are in the Yerushalmi, the Amorim that comprise the Yerushalmi, heard the transmission back to Moshe, but they're not virtually all of the Chachamim that ever lived, and they're also not, it wasn't unanimously accepted. It's for these, what?
The Bavli is more objective.
Excuse me?
The Bavli is more objective.
No. The Bavli is, we all agree what the Rambam said, and all the Achronim agree that, these are the three elements. The question is, what's the lumbus of it? Why? So there are those that say that they put all the emphasis on Hiskimo Lehem Kol Yisrael. Right? Who said it? The Maariv Chiyus says that. I saw some official also has a whole article on that. That, unanimously accepted. The Talmud Yerushalmi was not. So the acceptance of the Bavli, the fact that it was accepted by the people, makes it authority. Now, there is a real principle like that in halacha, that acceptance makes authority. And we're going to show that. It's a Ramban that writes about this at great length. Right? We'll quote, we'll show the Ramban. It's true. It's true. Right? But I don't think, I think that, with all due respect, these achronim are ignoring, right, the other two elements. The Ramban said three elements of why the Yerushalmi is like Torah incarnate. Right. So that's my saying. It's Torah incarnate. Right. The Yerushalmi, my understanding, as I say in my Sefer, right, still in manuscript, right, is that the Rambam is describing over here why the Bavli is the entirety of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's all the Chachamim, and it's the transmission, and it's unanimous, right? Since you're not talking a organized Beis Din, right, sitting in, together, Shivim Ve'echad Zkenim, right, so that problem has to be supplemented by the acceptance of the people. But it does have the other two elements. What did the Rambam say in Hilchos Mamre, what we started this evening with? Beis Din, Hagod Rishon Heim, Ikar Tar Shebaal Peh. They are Tar Shebaal Peh incarnate. We created another body. That's Torah Shebaal Peh incarnate. It's called the Talmud. Why is it Torah Shebaal Peh incarnate? Because it's Kol Chachmei Yisrael. It's the whole Masorah. He says the Rav Ashi pulled together everything that there was to pull together. There's nothing left out. It's the whole Masorah. It's everything. Except that it lacks the fact that it's not the type of body, right? Not the type of body that the Torah describes. You know, right? So that's to be supplemented by the fact that it was accepted. Acceptance, let's say it this way, I admit that acceptance is a necessary component, you have to understand. Acceptance can make something legally binding. But we don't just want the Talmud Bavli to be legally binding alone. We want to say it is the Torah Mamish. It is the Torah Mamish. And that's why you come on to the other two elements. Right? That was written by everybody, because Rav Ashi pulled together the material from all generations. It's the whole mitzvah. So I'll tell you halacha l'maaseh. It might be true. Let's say the Shulchan Aruch standing was Sfaradim, right? Is that they accepted it? You know, the Ashkenazim have a different relationship to the Shulchan Aruch than the Sfaradim do. We weigh it differently on the scales, on Paschim, right? So even if the Shulchan Aruch was much accepted, you know, like some Sfaradim, you know, Maran, whatever Maran says, you know, right? It's still not Torah incarnate. It's legally binding, but it's not Gufoid Torah. It's legally binding, like your local Beis Din. Their authority comes from the fact that you accepted them as the Beis Din. That's where their authority comes from. It comes from the Haskama, that they are the Beis Din. Right? They're not Torah incarnate, but their rulings are binding because you accepted them. Do you understand? This is the twin flame being the Torah, versus you have to follow what he says, but he's not the Torah. You have to follow his path. The Talmud is the Torah. Okay, very good question. Right, very good question. Look, I can't do better, so acceptance is legally binding. Right. But Ram definitely brings it. It's one of the three ingredients. Now I say the reason why, you know, even though I'll show you that acceptance is legally binding, for all generations, of Mashal Ma'adavar Derma, we said Na'aseh V'Nishma. Right, so my ancestors were stupid enough to say that I would have not made that mistake, right? And I'm still obligated. Acceptance is binding on all generations. Here. Right? But I say that the Rambam didn't just want to rely on it. So that's also, getting back to the Kesef Mishnah. Right? The Kesef Mishnah. You asked a question on the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says, the only reason why Amorim can't argue on Tanaim is because they accepted upon themselves not to. So why you ask, why does that obligate you? Acceptance, once people accept, it's obligating on all generations. Like Na'aseh V'Nishma. And that's a Rambam. Right, the Chuvash Rivash in Simen Shin Tzadi Tesh actually deals with this question about issues that, what makes something binding? What makes something binding? Right? What makes something binding? So he quotes a Ramban. The Ramban wrote a special essay called Mishpat HaChera. And Ramban wrote, you know, a book on, you know, putting people in chayrim and all types of, you know, decreeing things that are binding. Like, how does it work? The Ramban has an essay like that called Mishpat HaChayrim. And this is what the Rivash is quoting from. The Rivash is much later, a couple hundred years, almost 100 years later, 100 years later, right? 100 years after Ramban. So he says like this. The Kosev Ramban b'Mishpat HaChayrim. Ramban wrote in the Mishpat HaChayrim, Shekein hadin b'kol kaboros harabim, whenever a group accepts upon themselves something, shecholem b'al zarim, right? Right? It becomes obligatory on them and then their descendants after. K'dashchem b'kaboros tor, like Na'aseh V'Nishma. Why are we legally obligated to keep Torah? What's the legal mechanism? Because we accepted it. We said Na'aseh V'Nishma. And then just obligate that generation, said Na'aseh V'Nishma, and obligates all generations that ever came afterwards. Acceptance obligates. You know, Kabbalah is Mechayev.
What's that
from
the law
in
terms
of personal reality? What? If a person accepts something to be part of their personal reality, that
acceptance makes it part of the reality.
Yeah, acceptance obligates. But a Kabbalah Sarabim, so now if you just accept something on yourself privately, it's not going to obligate your children. But this is different. It was communal. Now, community includes the corporate entity called community, includes the descendants that will come afterwards, because you're talking a corporate entity. Now, there's a bit of a machloikas in the Achroinen, how to understand, you know, this principle of Kabbalas Rabin, that everyone agrees it's immutable, right? Once it's accepted, it's binding you on your children. What type of din is it? Is it a din neder? It's like a neder, and that's why it's binding. Or it's like a whole independent principle in its own right. There is no practical difference, because since we said it's a communal thing, so you know the halacha is by a neder. If you're neder al das rabin, if there's a communal oath, a communal oath cannot be absolved. We cannot go to a rav and be matzer neder. I'm carrying the neder of my forefathers. They said na'aseh v'nishma. I'd like to be matzer neder on that. It doesn't work, right? Because since it's communal, so all your rationalizations of why you have never committed don't mean anything, because it's not just your commitment alone. Your commitment is intertwined with everyone else's commitment. You can't be matir a neder if it's your neder. This neder is not yours alone. You're just a part of it. A communal neder is not both. There's no way to be matir a communal neder. There's a bit of a topic in the Achronim, like, you know, what is the obligating factor? It's like an oath, right? Or it's just like it's a whole different principle in its own right. Acceptance of authority makes authority. I don't know if there's a conclusive way of proving one way or the other. And I don't know if there's any, I don't know. There might be, I don't know if there's a practical difference, right? But, right. So there, I didn't read the whole rush of it, but it's this Chuvas Rivash Shin Tzadi Tetz. He talks about this concept. You know, acceptance makes... So, and that's the whole reason why, you know, the Shulchan Aruch is binding. You know, on those who is binding too. Because it's accepted. But even so, the Shulchan Aruch is not the Torah itself. The Torah itself is the Talmud. The Talmud is the Torah. The Shulchan Aruch is a particular interpretation of the Talmud, but it still remains that the goof of Torah is the Talmud. Well, that being the case, right. So now there are different schools of thought on the issue. Like I said, the Chazon Ish, right, we already quoted him, right, he has a shita that knowing that you're smaller than the generations that came before you obligates you to keep your mouth shut. Now, like I said, that's why the Amar didn't argue with Tanoim. Just knowing the MS of the reality obligates you to act accordingly and keep your mouth shut. And he holds that way, the Chazon Ish, he holds that way also why, you know, we can't argue on Rishonim. The Achronim can't argue on Rishonim, and we can't argue on Achronim. It's all this, you know, this principle, right, this principle of, you know, knowing the reality of the situation is mechayev to keep your mouth shut. But a lot of authorities don't hold that way. Here, l'may nafkamina. L'may nafkamina. So let's take the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Can you argue with the Shulchan Aruch? Right? So Chazon Ish says you can't. Right? You know you're smaller than the Shulchan Aruch, so keep your mouth shut. Right? So even if you didn't accept, you're not from those communities. You're not from those communities that accepted the Shulchan Aruch as being authoritative. Still, the emes of the situation is mechayev to keep your mouth shut, right? But we find in the Maharshal. Who's the Maharshal? Maharshal wrote a halacha sefer called the Yamshel Shloimer. Now, the Maharshal lived in the same generation as, you know, the Mechaber and the Ramah. So he writes in his introduction, right? Can you find it? We're almost done. We're getting there. And it says like this. Okay. Just trying to find it. Okay. So this is what the Yamsha Shlema, the Marshal, the Shlema Luria, right, is complaining about and why he's writing his book. We talk that Nitan Lebaldin Lach like the Lema, Kayim Le Kachab Miron Asfadi Kasfardin, Vachochad Borer et Shalo, Vam Vam Kurashinai. The Salvatore Yerushi Lemishpachot. Right, they said, complaining that how Allah is that Svardin will follow Svardi Poskim that came before them. And Ashkenazim will follow Ashkenazi Poskim that came before them, as if the Torah is just an inheritance, right? This is what we inherited, you know, from this, you know, the rulings that got handed down. Right? The Lozu Aderech, this is not the proper way to learn. The Lozu Ayir. Kimos Ravina Ravashi, since the days of Ravina and Ravashi, right, that sealed the Talmud. Ein kabal lipsokecha min ha-ga'aynim, orcha me'achroinim, there is no binding mesera. You have to always paskin like the Rambam. You have to always paskin like, there is no. Now, ever since Ravina Ravashi and Talmud, there is no binding authority that you always have to go like him. There is no such thing. Right? Right? But rather, you should always follow the one that seems to be most faithful to the Gemara. And if the Talmud Bavli is, you know, it's, you know, the Lashon over there is impossible to say, then you look at the Yerushalmi. If not from Yerushalmi, then you look at the Tosefta. Right? But that's how you go. And he goes on to explain that he'll take on anybody. Even though he readily admits that the Bali Atesis that lived before him are bigger than him, he'll take them on. Right? So what if I'm smaller? Right? The main thing is, who is saying what the Gemara said? Who is saying what the Gemara said? That's the halacha. If he's less half intelligent, if his pshat fits better in the Gemara, it seems to, that seems to be what fits, and that seems to be what the Gemara is saying. That's the halacha. What? That's right. That's why he goes on to explain that, you know, the Lamdom in his days, you know, they would argue with each other, you know, not give each other proper covet, but not argue with the people from the generation before. He says, no. Your friend might be telling the truth, and the guy from the generation before you never thought to, you know, re-examine, maybe he said wrong. Yeah. He says, I'm not going to, even though I know I'm smaller than the generation before me, I'm not nesed panim lish, no one gets no favorite treatment from me, says the Marshal. I'm starting everything from scratch. Right? Building from the Gemara, and that's, you know, and that's the proper way to paskin. That's the proper way to paskin. There is no Kabbalah that, you know, you have to always go with. That was one of the criticisms of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, you know, created a new type of halacha. Now, if it works, it's because the Beis Yosef was accepted. Right? What did the Beis Yosef say? He says it takes 2 out of 3. Right? From the Rambam, Rif, and Rosh, he'll go with 2 out of 3. I mean, it's very, the Marshal didn't like that. Said, well, every sugya, you see what comes out from the most straightforward understanding of the Gemara. So if the most straightforward understanding of the Gemara is like the Rambam, so in this sugya, it's like the Rambam. In this sugya, if the most straightforward understanding is like the Rosh, so it's like the Rosh. Not, you don't go 2 out of 3. Right, very important point. It's true. The din of Achrei Rabin Lahatos always applies. They always follow the majority. It's not just in the Beis Nagoro, it's in any Beis. When you go to a din Torah, there are 3 dayonim presiding. 2 are machayev you, one patters you, the halacha is like the two out of three. Acher Rabin Lahatos always works. There's no denying that. But Acher Rabin Lahatos, the poskim agree, only really kicks in when they all sat together. If I am pulling from across the generations, you know, I say on this issue, Rashi and the Rambam are Mechayev, right? But the Rosh and the Tur, right, and the Mechaber and the Shach, right, they potter, right? I don't have to go with the Roiv, because they're not. It's not really a Din Roiv. It's only a Din Roiv. You hear this well. This is halacha lemaaseh. Everyone agrees that this is true, right? That the Din Roiv, that you're not allowed, hear this well, that you're not allowed to go with the minority. That's a Din. Acher Rabin Lahatos, you're not allowed to go. That which you're, it's usher to go with the minority only kicks in when the Roiv and the Miut sat together and they heard each other out. They heard each other's arguments. And still, even after the Roiv hearing the Miut, they still maintain their position. That's when Acher Rabin Lahatos kicks in. That which you find poskim, like let's say with Vajra Yosef, he likes taking polls and he goes with the most of the poskim. It's not midin acher Rabin Lahatos, it's a different din. It's a safe bet. And then he himself will admit it's not usher to rely on the miut, but he's going to pass as well because it's a safe bet. But a din that it's usher to rely on the miut, that only kicks in if they all sat in the same generation together and heard each other out. What?
Why?
Because maybe if the majority would have heard out the minority, they would have admitted to the minority. Right? Right, that would say you follow the majority because the majority heard the minority and they still are dug into their position. So that's when we say the Roiv is Mevatol the Miut. But if they never heard out the minority, maybe if they would have heard them, they would have agreed with them. Right? So again, so that which the Beisyosef goes with two out of three, right? His front line is the Rambam Rif Rosh, right? And he says if he can't find out, you know, from those three, because it's not clear, so he has his back line of the Rajba and the Mordechai and the Rana, I can't remember who else, you know, he sets up his axioms. So people went berserk with that, but that's not the way halacha works. Right? You know, halacha works like, you know, what's it mashma from the Gemara? That's how the way it's most right. But it's the Beis Yosef got his authority for the fact that he got accepted, right? Right. So that's what he said. Acceptance, you know, makes authority, right? It makes authority. But you know, it's you know, the question is whether it's really the proper way to learn, so the proper way of passing. But he got his authority for the fact that he got accepted.
Does today's behavior reflect his knowledge?
What's today's behavior?
Today's
behavior. What?
Today's practice with these things. Do people practice this as they know?
Practice what?
How they practice.
I don't know. It's a balagan. Listen, there's very little systematic approach to Bismanos, unfortunately. Yeah. Listen to what the Maharal writes in the Siv HaTera Perek Tes Vav. And with this we'll break for questions. Okay. So he was going off on the, this was towards the end of the 15th chapter of the Siv HaTorah. He's coming off a Russian Chazal that says a person who paskins from Mishnayos is Mibalei Olam, he destroys the world. The paskin from Mishnayos is Mibalei Olam. Right? He's trying to explain why Chazal say that, and after that he applies it to his time. Right? He says like this. Right, how, Atara kashu mara halacha l'masa. When you paskin halacha l'masa, the doors are roish yechim and atara shatari sichus. The dialog, the psak has to come from the Torah. Now, how do you define the Torah? The Torah is the intellect of Torah. Torah sichus, the intellect of Torah. The doors are who are Talmud. The Talmud is the intellect of the Torah. Shu sichu, right? Because the Mishnah doesn't say the reasons, right? Rabbeinu Akash left the reasons of why the Pesach is the way it is in the Mishnah. He left that Baal Peh. He left that encoded. The reasons, the Seichel, the intellect of the Torah, which is what the Torah really is. It's divine intellect. So the intellect of the Torah is the Talmud. Right? That's why Pesach has to come from the Talmud, from the Gemara, not from the Mishnah. Right? Right, and that's, you know, for sure what upholds the world, that, you know, there's facts in the Torah, and therefore the inverse of that is that if you bring a psak not from the essence of Torah, you see it written in some book somewhere, you assume that that's the halacha, right? So you're doing the opposite of upholding the world. That's why I say it destroys the world, right? Okay. Then he goes on to speak about what he considers to be the evils of his generation. He says like this. Aval bador hazeh, in this generation, ima yu posk halacha mitocha mishnah hayadai, if people would only paskin at least from the Mishnah, they ought to keep quiet. Because at least the Mishnah is somehow related to the Talmud, because the Talmud is based on the Mishnah. Right? Those are but people aren't poskening from the Mishnah. Where are people poskening from? From halacha books. They look up in a book, it says, this is the halacha, and that's all they paskin. Right? They're not, the psak is not originating from the Talmud. See, in some, even though it's written by a credible source.
But originally, it was from the Talmud,
from the Talmud. Right. So he goes on to say this. Right, Harishanu Kamar Rambam Zichron Uvracha Vatur Zichron Uvracha. You know, in his day, the Shulchan Aruch had not caught on yet. He lived in a generation where the Shulchan Aruch was just written. So he says, you know, so what was more popular in use was Rambam and Tur. You know, these were the halacha books of the people. Zalkav shem chibur apsokim below birur le datam rak lahal sof halacha sholam mitocha talmud avu sokadam mitecha mibli shiera meizem mokam yotra din rakhoch sablo talmud lo olo daitam hashavasim. Why did they write their books? That after a person learned the sugya in the Gemara, so to check himself, then make sure that he came up, you know, the right conclusion. So you look how the Rambam passed out of Tur Paskin, right? And, you know, and if you disagree, you disagree. That's your privilege. But at least see, and you agree or you disagree. Whereas if you wouldn't see anyone else's, you know, sock, you know, maybe you made a mistake and you don't realize it. You see, after you go there, well, the Rambam sorted the conclusion as such. So you either agree with that or you disagree, right? But at least you had time to compare it with. To check yourself, right? But that a person should just open up a Rambam and say, oh, this is the halacha, without looking ever in the Gemara as if the Rambam is an entity in his own right, is Torah in his own right. Right? But just look at a Torah, and oh, it says in the Torah, this is the halacha. It's like so, as if the Torah is the source of the halacha. It has no shaychus to the Gemara. Right? Lo Oro Dara, so he tainas the Maral that they if they would have known that their books were being used that way, they would have never written them. Right? They never intended that. They never wanted anyone to do that with their books. So Amukana person we talk about Mishnah next Shabbam Gushi, Kumashi Bar, Vishav, all the other Gemara you have just quoted, a person who paskins from the Mishnah and not from the Gemara, you know, all types of derogatory terms. So why would the Rambam and Tur want to be machsho people in that, God forbid? They would have known that because of them, people stopped learning Talmud, they would have never written their books. So listen to what he says. Listen, this is everything Antonio was like, this was light compared to what he's about to say. Ki yoyser roi, vi yoyser nochem, she posek mitoch atamut, vav ki yesh lochush, lo yach bederach emes, lo yisok adin la mitoi, she tia an oro fi emes, mi konkom en lechachal rak ma she sekol, noysen u mevi mitoich atamut. Right? It would be better if people would just pass the records in the Gemara, even though you run the risk that maybe it will be totally off. Right? God doesn't want anything else from you. The Talmud is the Torah. That is the Torah. You have to learn the Torah, and the halacha has to come out from the Torah. So even though, you know, you run the risk of maybe paskening totally wrong, because you're not that proficient with the Talmud, right? Nonetheless, that's better. Right? Because that's what God wants. The kasher tzvosu chavosu tato, so im kosehu ohuv el Hashem yisparach, so even if you made a mistake, because you're not perfect, you know, so you didn't learn up the sugya correctly, he's still beloved to Hashem, kashu marek fi mashem ischayv min sichloi, because you're passing the way your seichel sees fit, based on the Gemara. Vein ledayin rak mashen avroes, right, the judge has to go with it the way his eyes see it. V'u yeser toiv, misha posim, mitoch chibur echad, v'lo yadot tamadav aklar, shach kmo a'iver badech, and that's better than passing from even a very reliable book, but you don't know why this is the halacha, because you're not following the Torah. Talmud is the Torah. You're following Rambam. You're following Torah. But the Rambam and Torah are not Torah incarnate. The Talmud is. So you have to use them as a commentary on the Talmud, not use them to supplant the Talmud. Right, so he said, one second, being okay, I'll say, because Talmud is like, right, he just says, okay, he says, but we're so stupid, and we'll mamish muff up, he says, no, it's because people don't learn seriously. If people would learn seriously, then, you know, people would be able to get workable results from the Talmud. I mean, you know, of course, with the Rishonim, right, work through the sugya, so get workable results. Yeah. I have nothing to add on the topic. What?
Well, my first one is, so what else? Those of us who don't learn from that.
What?
Where are we supposed to get the halacha from? Those of us who don't
learn from that. You're not chayav to learn either. You're just chayav to keep the mitzvah.
So then we can use, like, halacha.
Yes, no problem. No problem. Yes. What? I can't hear you. What? Ideally not, you know, ideally, now, you know, what can you do? I mean, look, you know, the Chai Adam, in his Hakdama, he writes the polar opposite. He says, well, people should only learn halacha svar, meaning balabatim, should only learn halacha svar. Even before, the Shach and Taz say this also in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Right? You know, the Shach says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, halacha l'maaseh, a balabas who only has 3 hours a day to learn. Like, they assume people had at least 3 hours. Right? He shouldn't learn Gemara. Only a little bit. He should learn halacha. He should learn halacha svar. Because the whole tachus of Gemara is to come to the halacha. Right? And they don't accomplish that objective. Right? I.e., the Shach would very strongly disagree with if a person's whole learning is Daf Hayomi, right? It doesn't accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Because the results of learning Gemara should be to come to the Halacha. Right? And the Balabatim, they're not capable of that. They're not good enough at it. So they should learn halacha, because that's the tachos. Gedolah Talmud, maybe they might. Now but the way we're saying it, there isn't really at the core of it a machloikas. Right? That's like, you know, the Shach, the Chai Adam, you know, and it's not dumb, that's why he's pushing his book, the Chai Adam, you know, Kitzur Halachas. You know, this is what people should learn because people don't have the time, you know, most people are with the parnasa, you know, they have only a few hours a day. No one's going to come to the halacha l'maaseh, right? Because the tachos of going through the sugyas is to be mevada halacha l'maaseh. So fine, you know, they're just saying, you know, since that's the case, you know, defeatist attitude. So we have to learn halachas for them, and therefore, since that's the case, you know, people shouldn't learn daf yomi. They should learn shulchan aruch. Right? They should learn chayyada. That's what I did it for. Right? That's because they've accepted the reality that even the people who do learn Gemara just never come to a psak. The Maharal is saying, don't give up. Right? Maharal is saying not to give up. Right? And go for it if you can. You know, and if you're afraid you might be wrong, it's better than, you know, it's better than giving up. It's better than giving up. It's not really a machlokes, right? They gave up, right? You know, the Shach who lives later, right? You know, they gave up on the Balabatim. On the Balabatim they gave up, right? And the Balabatim are hopeless. Right? So they shouldn't be learning Talmud the 2 hours a day they learn, or 3 hours a day they learn, they should be learning Halacha. Right? Right? Because at the end of the day, you know, just reading Talmud for, doesn't come to anything, you never, you know, no clarity in anything, that's not learning, right? So they say, you know, so learn Halacha, at least you know, you do this, you do that, you do this and that. Right? You know. Daf HaYomi, at the end of the day, a guy can't even tell you exactly what he heard. I mean, you know, he could repeat some of the jokes that the Mazit Shir said, right? But he can't tell you, you know, this is how it is, and this is the Maskana, he can't tell you. Right?
So if
someone
learns Gemara, then they can possibly get the Gemara anymore?
According to the Maharal, yes. According to Maharshal, yes. But now, it's what we said. We showed the principle of acceptance gives authority, so the Shulchan Aruch was accepted. We're rapidly, you know, there's a rapidly, if it hasn't happened already, the Mishnah Berurah is becoming accepted. So acceptance, you know, grants authority. Right? So yeah, it becomes, but the fun starts the minute that it's not exactly the same case. The Mishnah Berurah spoke about, that's where the fun begins. That's where you could, like, be perico. Right? That's, Ideally, but then you have to know how to learn. That's what you're saying. Yeah. That's what the Chayyadim says. You know, the Shach just said in general, Balabatim, you know, learn halacha. You know, the Chayyadim was already said in his Akdama. You know, Chayyadim lives even a little bit later. Right? You know, people don't know how to learn anymore. You know, so he's just saying it's just not applicable what the Maharal and the Maharshal was talking about, that, you know, don't follow, you know, halacha books, you know, go back to the Talmud. That is the Torah, and the Pesach should come from there. It's just not applicable. Now, we don't know how to learn, and we do know how, he says, even about himself, I do know how to learn, right? But it took me a long time to write this book, I'm not stupid, he says. I'm not stupid. You know, I spend weeks on a sugya. Now, who has that type of time and dedication, right? That's why people have to learn, you know, halacha. Okay, but the authority of the Shulchan Aruch comes from the fact that it was accepted. You know, the authority of the Mishnah Berurah, the principle is its acceptance. But like we showed, the fact that it's accepted doesn't mean it's Torah incarnate. That still remains only the Talmud. Talmud has, beyond acceptance, the fact that it's the whole Messiah. Right?
What?
Right.
Like,
no, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, the bottom line is, you know, what you heard from other people, you have to go back to the Gemara and you have to see if it stims, you know, okay, you stick with it. If it doesn't stim, you don't stick with it. That's it.
What about
It's also in the Gemara. It's all in the Gemara. That's in what we call a Gadata. That's in our seminar on Lag BaOmer. So we're going to discuss it. You know, that's really what Kabbalah is. You know, Kabbalah is our system of philosophy and metaphysics, and it's also based on the Gemara. The Gadata is in charge. Right. The Drosh is Haram. Right, the Ram in his drushes writes very clearly that the din of Achri Rabim La'atof even applies to issues of Hashkafa. If there will be a consensus, is this a proper Hashkafa or not, yeah, it would apply to that also. Right? But probably that, yeah. Although the Rambam, he's probably right. You know, even though the Rambam and the Ramak write that in Hashkafa, you know, there's no way proving one Hashkafa right, one Hashkafa wrong, right? And you can choose which one you want to hold by. Right?
Yeah.
But the Rambam and the Ramak refer to that both opinions are in the Gemara, or both opinions are in the Midrash. Right? Of course, you're not going to say one is right and one's wrong. Yeah. In Halacha, you could still say that, in the sense that even though Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, but there has to be one way of doing things. That's in the Beis Din Arba. And in Hashkafa, that doesn't apply, because since it's not in action, it's in thought, so nothing forces you to have to come to a consensus. In action, you have to decide. You're going to do the tefillin like this, you're going to tefillin. You're going to do the tefillin like Rashi, you're going to tefillin like Rabbeinu Tam. So you're forced to come to a consensus. Right? So the Beis Din Agadol probably, is what Rami is saying, the Beis Din Agadol probably often didn't sit on Hashkafa issues, if both sides are possible. Right? But in Halacha, you can only do it one way. Right? So you have to choose, right? So you have to sit. And even though Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, Halacha Kedivrei Beis Hor. But you're only forced to do that by issues of action, because you can't both do it this way and do it the other way simultaneously. Your throne have to either be like Rashi or like Rabbeinu Tam. So you have to decide. But in Machshava, there's nothing that forces you to decide. That's all in thought. But that's probably about, you know, where both deists have a sword. You know, of course we could, you know, work through Hashkafa and show that these deists are puzzled. You know, they have no source.
So our job as, like, pro-life would be to find someone who has learned through Gemara and passed before us. If this is not going to be passing for
us, yeah.
What is that? That will work. How would you approach it?
Yes. Right. How can I tell you? Okay. Now, again, so now this thing of Achron can't argue on Rishonim is just, you know, again, it's different approach. We said the Chazon Ish has that, you know, Shita. That's like it's just a reality. What's brought down in the name of the Goyim, in the Vilna Goyim, and this, that going back in time, until the generation of the Ramah, you can argue just based on Svara alone. Not just because you think differently, because the base is good enough basis to argue. From the Ramah upwards, you know, from the Ramah and, you know, and higher than that, you need a black on white raya from the Gemara. Right? So, you know, there is just, you know, the Chazon Ish is not totally wrong. There is just an idea of knowing your place. So with your contemporary, I could just say, I just don't understand it that way. That's good enough. Right? And that's, so the Goyim said, at least for himself and, you know, for his Talmidim, up to the Ramah, just, you know, the fact that you learn differently and you just don't understand it that way, that's good enough. If you want to argue with the generations prior to that, you have to at least, you know, show a Gemara. You know, show a Rav. Right, that, you know. You can't say, well, I just don't understand the way it's not good enough. They were big, right? So, show that your way is better from the Gemara. But until the Ramah, all those generations, you know, you can just argue on Svara, look, I just don't understand it that way, and that's good enough. I don't have to show that my way is necessarily better. I just don't understand it that way. That's until the Ramah. From the Ramah upwards, you have to clearly, if you want to argue, you have to clearly show your way fits with the Gemara better. That's what the Goyim said.
So why do people ask Goyim about everything?
About what?
Like, lots of different questions about, like...
Like
for Hajjaka while you're dating, or on the kosher cell phone. Like, why do you have to ask it?
Well, what's the question exactly? Like, you're allowed to take advice.
Your own opinion, though? You don't have to listen to
them. That's right. Oh, that's one thing called. Pass me that red book over there, and the Kisvei Rambam. This is a very nice book. I mentioned this in class a few times. You know, again, this is talking about just understanding the nature of rabbinical authority since the sealing of the Talmud. Even if it's not Torah incarnate, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense to follow that. It's what the Rambam wrote to the Yemenites in his Igeres Haman. You know, they were, it seems that they were easy victims for charlatans. You know, like every few years, you know, another false Mashiach used to come and, you know, take them for all their money. So, the Rambam writes a Lashon like this. So even if they're not telling Kone, it just makes sense to listen to them, right? The Dach, you should know, he tells the Yemenites, right? Kamoshi Natsasuma be Shav O Ala Pikechado, just like the blind man will do good, you know, do well for himself to allow a sighted person who can't see to lead him. If he should have a shame away nine shiro adecha, because he knows he doesn't have eyes to see. The Kamoshi Natsa Khoira Shenu Yodem Ichachasar Fus, Bashama Atsa Sarafim, Shiani Geyu Vyajachel, Fi Shenu Yodea Dvorim, Hamemisim, Lo Machim Amatsilim. So also, just like the sick person would do well to listen to the advice of his doctor, because he doesn't know what's poison and what's nutritious, so he'd do well for himself to listen to the doctor. Kein roi lamon nimtza mishasam al nevi'im bali ha'inayim amitim v'dalim b'mashan lan she'asvor ha'plonis ha'achas v'asot ha'is ein ha'emes v'achrei nevi'im ha'chachoyim ha'chok ha'vartim liyom le'ev le'elos ha'asfros v'adeos v'yitom ezmen ha'emes v'ezmen shav. So also, people who are stupid should rely on the wise people. Just like the blind man relies on the sighted person and the sick man relies on his doctor, those who know that they're stupid should rely on those who are more knowledgeable. Right, but it's a principle of, you know, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, you ought to rely on he who does. So even though it's not leisasur. Yeah, there's a shita in the chinuch, sefer achinuch. He's a das yachin, as far as I know. I haven't seen it. I saw a quote in Maril, but I was able to see the Maril inside. So as far as I know, the shita, the sefer achinuch in mitzvah tuf tzadi hei, says that leisasur, so this is the basic other, applies to all the chachamim of all generations. But he's a das yachin. The minchas chinuch right there on the spot asks, like, where did he get that from? The pesukim are talking about the Beis Din HaGadol. The chinuch holds that way. But he's a das yachin. Now, I just saw in one of the slums, I was looking around, someone quoted in Maril is also saying that it's leisasur if you eat kidneys on Pesach. Right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to find the Maril inside. Someone claims the Maril says that also. But, you know, but the Chinuch says that. But anyway, the Rambam is not saying, you know, the person who's stupid, of course, he shouldn't try to learn Gemara, because if you know you're stupid, you know you don't know how to learn. Right? So, of course, you rely on the Chacham. And that's, you know, he's talking over here also as advice, giving him advice. Like, now every time a guy comes to your town and says he's a Mashiach, you know, take it easy and ask, get a second opinion.
What does it mean when someone says that
Rabbi Yashiv made a check? Okay. There's still, you know, okay. First of all, we learned Baloch and the Rambam together that if there is a, you don't know the din, so you only, if it's a Deraisa, go after the Machmir, and if it's a Draban, go after the Menkel. Now you understand over there that has nothing to do with the authority of rabbis per se. That's, let's say the issue is pork, right? Is there a chash that there's pork in something or not? Or is the pork bottle, is the pork not bottle, right? So your obligation to follow the machmir is not nothing to do with rabbinical authority. The chiyuv to follow the machmir comes from the isur to eat pork. That because you don't want to be michshol in that isur, so it's that isur forces you to take heed of the issue. Take heed. And the klal is, if it thinks what's at stake is a deraisa, you go l'chumrah. Right? Your chiyuv to obey mitzvahs to rabbanan is what forces you to take heed of the issue if there's a suffix. Right? So it's the chiyuv to keep the drabon that, you know, that forces you to seek rabbinical counsel. Nothing to do with their authority, right? It's your problem. You have to uphold the Rabbanan, and you don't know how to execute your responsibilities. So the chiyuv to listen to a psak, right, is coming from your obligation to not be nichshel, right? Fine. So now, so what are we talking about? You know, you say Rav Yosher Paskin, right? Right? What are we talking about? You know, you're talking about that there's a shaila, right? There's a shaila, right? So, you know, the shaila itself forces you, you know, your obligation to not be nichshel, whatever the issue is, obligates you to seek, you know, counsel, to seek, you know, a resolution that you should not be nichshel, right? Right? So if Rav Yosher has a day on it, you know, so you're looking for any day on it. Right? So now it's true, I can't remember where I saw this, but in one of the Kolim of the Pesachim, Itaka says that, you know, that which we say, you know, always go like the Machmir by Doraisa, that's not a blanket rule, that's when they're roughly same level of intelligence. If one is clearly more qualified than the other, you listen to a guy who everyone acknowledges is more qualified. Right? That it says. You know, it says in one of the Kolim of how to Paskin, how to handle Shilas. So I can't remember where I saw that. It says that that's what we say, always go after the Machmir, that's when, you know, they're roughly in the same league. You know, well, you know, one is clearly great, yes, he does, but, you know, so in Paskin, of course, you have the Shilas, you know, if you have the Shilas, you need to seek counsel. Right? You don't have the Shilas, you know, so I don't know what that means, you know. Do you mean to say he made a gzeira? Is that what you mean? Right? What? So again, you know, the term psak is just, you know, overused and abused. Right? Do you mean to say, right, that there was a shaila and this is his, you know, this is his opinion on the shaila? So he says like this, and Rav Nissim Karelitz says like that, or Chaim Kanievsky says like that, right? So, you know, who are we to judge who's greater? We don't know. So, b'dereisa halachachar ha-machmir, b'drabon halachachar ha-meko. If you have the shaila, you're obligated to take heed of the different opinions on the matter, you know, and the shaila that you have is what forces you to take heed, because you have to responsibly execute your responsibilities not to be over any mitzvah. Right? So the shaila itself forces you to seek counsel. So I don't know what it means that, you know, if you don't have the shaila, so, you know, the issue doesn't exist for you.
Well, I mean, you just never thought of
because
you're
sick. Fine. So, again, yeah. The pshat is that he's saying if you do such and such, it's so deraisa, right? You don't know otherwise, right? So you have to be machmir, right? Now, truth is, he says it's a drabon, but no one is matir. No one is matir. So chances are it's usher. So you have to, you know, can't say, well, it's a drabon. So I don't know. That's only if there is a dare to be meiko. So you can rely on the meiko. There is no meiko. So there's only one psak here. Right? But if there's another principle. There's another principle. The Gemara says, right, you went to him with your shaila. So we said, right, we said acceptance grants authority. So that's what Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. You went and you asked your shaila to someone, and he gave you a psak, he asked her. You can no longer go to another person to get a psak mutter. You're bound by the psak you got. Why? Because you asked. So your asking means I will accept your psak. To be machmir is not a problem. Right? To create problems for yourself is never a problem. Right?
Why is that anymore? I'm not trying to
get it around. Doesn't it? Yeah. There's nothing wrong afterwards of you know, be making it usher upon yourself. Once you accept the psak of usher, what will make it mutter? You can always say make something usher, but you can't make something usher mutter. So once you've got a psak that it's usher, you're stuck. Right? The fact that you asked him for his psak means I am accepting of whatever you will tell me. So it's acceptance, you know, acceptance grants authority. Right? That's how I said, that's what I was trying to, you know, say, you know, you have the shaila, you don't have shaila, meaning you have the shaila and you want, and you're shopping for opinions, you have the shaila, you know, and you read in the media what the different rabbanim say, or you have the shaila and you went for a psak, because once you ask the shaila, the fact that you ask them, tell me your psak, that constitutes acceptance of the psak. And if he ossered, you can't go now and look for a psak that's not here.
Is that you also have to show that he
has questions? You need the right connections. You need the right connections. Right?
But still, let's say he does something, so it doesn't matter to you unless you offer questions.
So it depends, right. So if you asked him, so that will make it binding, right? Even if it's, let's say, an issue of Durabana, right? It's an issue, what's at stake is an issue of Durabana max, right? The Nisim Karelitz is Mati, and Rav Yosef Asers. But you asked Rav Yosef, what do you paskin? So that's called to be accepting of his Pesach, and now his Pesach is binding. Because you accepted upon yourself his Pesach.
Only for that thing.
Yes, only for that thing. So now this is now the minefield. You know, everything we said until now is simple, right? You know, where things are now going to get hard is that, you know, in this day and age, right, things have changed, because as the Rambam wrote, we saw, you know, the Beis Din, they only have authority over the local people, right? Because in the olden days, like the Rav himself said, because, you know, the drachim are meshubash begayasa, so you can't, it's not easy to travel from place to another, so every place is its own place. It's cut off from, every place is its own place, right? So that's why the Beis Din only has authority over the locals that have accepted it. It's not chal in a different medina, right? That was their world. In our world of today, right, they're lo pashut, right? Because aside from the fact that travel is so easy, but it's more than that. Like I might find a Rav in China more accessible than Rav Eliyosh is, even though I live only 40 minutes away from him. Because, you know, with internet, you know, with email, right, with, you know, phones, yeah, right? You know, we're not, you know, being geographically distant doesn't mean the same type of isolation that it used to mean once upon a time. It's a problem, right? So back in the olden days, so Rav Yoshev, he's the man here in Eretz Yisrael, right? And in America, they have their own people, even if they're not the same, but still. But Bisman Hazeh, you know, a person says a psak here, it's all over the world in instants. Now the Rambam would explain it, how one basin has no place else, because, you know, they're separate places. There's no easy way to connect them, right? The roads are not easily... So every makom is its own mitzias, right? That's no pashut this manazet. I'm just saying, he's got the gray areas that still need to be resolved. You know, there's no such, it's not the same world of makomus. Every place, every rub has his turf. You know, with the power of the media, let alone the easy travel, they started a shul over here, a English starting minyan, and called themselves Namroz, and their rabbi is Rabbi Basus in London, and I never heard of the guy. You've heard of him? Looks like a fine fellow. What? That's not a problem. The kira is there, and the rabbi is there. So he flies in once every 6 weeks, and I guess they're Bekesher constantly, you know, with a phone, you know. The Rav can be saying, yeah, the Kilo's here, and, you know. Something which, you know, was never envisioned before. Right. So, like, how do you say, you know, this Rav's community? It's not determined by geographical space anymore. It's a problem. Right. it's a problem. Right? It becomes a problem. You know, so the subjective authority that we have, that everyone has their rav, there's the local basin. Right? It's not determined by geography. I mean, you would think it may not be determined by geography anymore. Right? You know, air travel alone just changed so many things in the world. You know, there's another halacha. Right? If you go to a place where you don't know there's manin, right? So what do you do? So the halacha is you keep this man in your skier, nature, of the last place you were. Right? So there's no doubt in my mind, right, that halacha was coined, when everyone used to travel, by landmass. Right? So the halacha makes good sense. Because the last place you were, this man was probably very close to where you are now. Because it was the place right next door, right? But this halacha doesn't make sense if you flew from Eretz Yisrael to Antarctica. Right? You say, well, the last place I was Eretz Yisrael. I keep this man of Eretz Yisrael. There's no logic in that. Right? So it's, the media report that when Ilan Ramon was in Shemayim, right? So he kept the psak he got from a Chabad rabbi, right? He's the psak from a guy from the Chabad house, right? Was keep Cape Canaveral's money. Right? Keep this mountain of Cape Canaveral where you took off from you keep like the last place you were. Makes real sense. Right? If you go somewhere by continual land travel, so the last place you were has very similar mountain to where you are now. Right? The Cape Canaveral nishken shaychus to what goes on in space. Right? If you would have asked me, I would probably have to keep Shabbos Lechumah like every single place that is on the globe. Right, a 36-hour Shabbos, Lechumra, right? Like every place that Shabbos comes in on the globe. Right, the world changed, with easy travel and easy communication. So these are things, there's nothing that's universally binding, but the boundaries between where everyone has his turf, it's not defined by place anymore. How is it defined? Don't know. So that's why Rav Yoshev could easily become the manager of world jewelry, even of that of America, and it's not be perfectly binding. We're the kesher with him. We're in touch with him. I don't know. Right. What?
It's
still a separate community in terms of Yerushalayim keeps Purim on Teslav, we keep on Yadalit. That's because it has a din of they're chaymish. But separate communities vis-a-vis that there could be different halachic practices here and there, like what we saw in the Rambam, and like was also practiced, we mentioned this in class, that in those generations where there wasn't a based in a Godel, between Hillel and Shammai and Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So we mentioned in class that during that time, halakha was kept differently in different towns. Right? So the place of Rabbi Ezra even cut down trees to make coals, to make a meal or knife on Shabbos. Right? Because he held anything that goes into a bris milah is brecha Shabbos. Right? And the rest of the towns that they considered Chil Shabbos Be'eraisa, which is the way we paskin. Right? And it was okay. Because, as the Gemara says of there, Mekaymus, Mekaymusani, so everyone separates, it's not called that it's splintering into different religions, because they're separate places. It's only a problem of, as it were, keeping, they'll be in the same place at the same time. Right? But that type of world, if you're in a different place, you're in a different reality, that's rapidly coming to a close. Right? It's a problem. I don't know the answer to that. That's what I said. I can't remember what I saw, but one of the Sfarmer says that's what we say, By the Rosh is always like the Machmir, by the Rabban is always by the Mako, so that's if right? That's if they're not the same, they're roughly the same level of competence. Right? I can't remember where I saw it. The Rambam does not bring that principle, but someone else does. But when is that talking, you are sitting in the sidelines, right? And you're noting that there are these two different opinions. Your relationship is different if you actually go to a person for a psak, I said. You're right. Correct. Right. As you are, you've made his authority acceptable. Because that which they say, go with the greater one, you know, that, you know, you're standing by signs. You see these two opinions, so you go with the greater one. You know, but the, today, if this is your love, so you're allowed to follow him. You know, that's, you're meant to follow him. That's the din of the authority of the local Beis Din. You know, that the Rambam writes out. They have authority over that. Why? Because the local people accepted them. The local people, that's why. That's why they have the authority over their, you know, the acceptance of the people is what makes them authority. Well, that's the way it works. Yes, yes. Except if you know that they're wrong. There's nothing in halacha that allows a person to shut their mind off. Even by the Beis Din HaGadol, when there was one, so I see that, you know, the poskim, discuss that the, if the Beis Din HaGadol, is that what you have to listen to? You have to listen to the way they learn, right? But if they tell you, pork is kosher, you don't listen to them. Their authority that you follow them, I feel like your min shu small, the social min is in their way of learning, that you think they learnt wrong, right? So you're just in love with your own opinions, and tough, you're going to have to be mavato your opinion to their opinion. That's when it's an issue that's totally in opinion. Right? But if they honestly mistook, you know, a pig for a cow, you don't listen to them. Yeah, it's something that, you know, they forgot that there's a pasuk in, or whether they forgot that there's a pasuk in the Torah that outlaws eating trait. You know, it's something, make a mistake like that, you don't listen to them. You listen to them when it's, you know, their takanas or their interpretation of the law, right? But it's not that they most forgot the law. Yeah. What? No, it's probably not going to happen. But that's, you know, but you know, the poskim, you know, that dealt with the. So that which, you know, they say it's because there's a skewer. The Sifrei says, if they tell you on the left that is the right, and the right is the left, right? See if they're dead wrong. Right, the Rambam doesn't bring that Sifrei, number one. Number two, the Yerushalmi says, Mamish Faker. Lo said, Yamin is small, Atsha Gidu Yamin Shu Yamin Val Smol Shu Smol. No, they have to tell you correctly that right is right and left. Yerushalmi Darshan Tepasuk reverse. So I see that, you know, the Yad HaMelech and other Achronim, they reconcile and say there's no machloikers. Whereas, you know, what the Sefer say about is that in your opinion they're learning wrong, but it's an issue of opinion. And Yerushalmi is talking about Metzias, you know. They told you something's, you know, kosher, and you know, you were there at the time that they, and you saw that was Nevela. You saw that was Trefa. Right? You saw that it's a pig, right? So even though you don't listen to them, that's how they reconcile the Sifrei with the Yerushalmi. Sifrei is an issue of opinion. But what does that mean? In the end, there's no heter for a person to shut their mind on. Yeah.
So when people say that
you look at a rabbi
and he has
a
sorrow from his
rabbi,
like, that's not really so relevant, right?
Yeah, it's generally baloney when they say that.
You know, like, you want to go to someone who has a rabbi himself, but like, that's not really so relevant. He can learn it, he can make his own, he can do his own self-love, so who cares if he had a
Yeah, no, of course, you know, because it's, you know, no. So that means that he had a Rebbe, because he did what's called Shimush Tamidei Chachamim. You know, it's called to get, called experience. I'll give an example. There's a famous story that brings it out. You know, just an example of what we mean by Shimush Tamidei Chachamim. Right? A bacher came to the Beis HaLevi to get smicha. Right? So a woman walked into the Beis HaLevi at that time, said she bought chicken legs. You know, she was salting her chicken legs together, you know. And of the chicken legs that she was salting together, you know, the shochet had pronounced, you know, three chickens kosher, one chicken trace. But one of the legs of the trace chicken fell in with the other legs. Right, the legs were all detached from the body, so you can't tell, you know, right? What's the halakha? Right? So they said, okay, you came for smicha, you popped in the shower. Okay? So he said, it's a caution, it's not a challenge. You know, a leg is a it's not bottom. It's too big to be bottom. So they're all awesome. Okay? Let's try that. It's not even a challenge to us. Okay? So basically he walks up to the chicken leg and he separates. Right? There were 9 chicken legs. He separated 5 and 4. He said, these 4 are kosher, these 5 are trace. So the bachur, what type of stock is that? They're all kosher. There are 5 left legs and only 4 right legs. On a chicken, the right leg and the left leg are not the same. Yeah, the fingers are not the same. Yeah, I noticed there are 5 left legs. So obviously the trefoil is one of the left legs. I saw all the left legs are there. That's shimush tamid el chachamim. Okay? And also that's shimush now. So just book knowledge, and he wasn't mishamish tamid el chachamim, but he could be totally detached from reality. So I say, you want to know that he had a Rebbe also, that, you know, he's not self-taught. And it's a shimush, you know, because he's self-taught, could be, could be off. Now when I say I have a Masorah, that just means I heard from my Rebbe once. No one has like a Masorah that goes, way back. Right, ever since World War II and all the yeshivas got destroyed and they rebuilt the yeshivas out of refugees from this country, there's no ancient Masoros anymore. As far as I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, enough punishment for one evening. All right, Malcolm Gerd tomorrow. Mm-hmm.